Welcome, 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 everyone, to our healathon. For those who, and very intimate healathon. I told you it would be intimate. Looks like there's only seven people that have joined us today. So everyone's going to get some time with me. And I'm just delighted that you're here. And for those who might be listening to the recording later, just know that every single session is here for you too. So let's just all hold that intention. Let's just put our hands on our hearts and say that to ourselves, repeat after me to yourself, and even if you're listening to the recording later, say this to yourself, that the perfect people are here today. I know that the perfect people are here today so that I will receive at the highest levels. That's right. That's right. I know that the perfect people are here today serving me so that I get exactly what I need at this time. That's it. And as those of us who are here live are putting that out into the universe, know that for the people who join us later, that you have put something out as a gift for them, that they will receive exactly what they require and need, with you being the catalyst for their healing. So thank you for holding that intention, and thank you for joining. Thank you for playing with me today, and thank you for hanging out. So I'm just going to open up the lines and just say, whoopsie, all the lines are open. I had to mute out Betsy. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, great. Excited.
Good. I'm glad you're here. I got your note, Betsy, and I got your note, Cheryl. So, and just want to just say, Betsy, thank you for that beautiful, beautiful note. Would you be okay if I read it to everyone?
Yeah. And
okay,
I turned
good.
Off my computer, so that shouldn't be any issue.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you. Betsy shared, I so loved all that I have learned and I'm learning from you, Jennifer. Thank you. My dear friend Cheryl, hey Cheryl, and I, who you've known each other for 40 years since high school, are sharing this journey. That's a really cool thing that you guys are doing together, by the way. It is so powerfully helpful to have a community and or a friend. Oops. I think, Cheryl, you might have two. Oops. I think you might have two computers in, Cheryl. Okay, I'll just mute one out. I have to mute Cheryl out a bit here. Okay. We have fun learning so much and unwinding many things, and that we knew each other when is so helpful. Yes, indeed. So if you can find a partner to do this stuff with, I totally recommend it. I have so much enjoyed the progress in listening and trusting and knowing that choosing me first enables me to be the best version of me, experience the most joy, and progress in listening and trusting and knowing that offers the most service and joy to others. The ultimate win-win-win. My ego is not giving up the fight, and I know it's normal to keep acknowledging and navigating my path. I would also like to better discern me, allowing myself to learn and seek joy and offer at my highest level, and to know when I maybe just need to get off my butt and do something, even though I may not be inspired or interested. In other words, when do I take myself in hand and say, you need to do this, Bets, no matter how onerous the task may be, and when can I allow myself to follow and do the activities that are coming to me more naturally? The worst is when I do the thing that is joyful and feel the guilt, like listening to a trust session versus working on my website or writing a proposal. Do it and enjoy it, or go to work on that UGG task. I suspect there is no magic pill here, and that this will get easier as I get better and better at trusting myself. I need help in the loneliness of transition of metamorphosis, and when I'm feeling like a wobbly foal sometimes, and here come the ego Farmer Brown wanting to yell at me or knock me down to make me wrong. To know at my deepest level that I am coming into a newer and even more wonderful version of Betsy, and that I am not expected to be super good at it all the time. It's okay to be shaky sometimes, to love myself through it, and trust. I didn't know. Okay, the rest of it is about me. So that, you know,
which is
Betsy,
important. I wish you would read it.
Okay. I didn't know you before the Me Too Intensive, which Cheryl found and shared with me, but I can't tell you enough how wonderful it is that you are you, authentic, positive, so real, uplifting, fun, articulate, fun, warm, funny, caring, intelligent, inspiring, perceptive, intuitive, courageous, and a work in progress. Thank you. Thank you for that last bit. And that was good to read because, honestly, when I read what you wrote, I'm like, that's me. I'm like, that's me. That's me. You know, when I read that, I'm like, I'm right there with you, sister. I'm right there with you, right? So yeah. We're all on this amazing, amazing, beautiful journey of leveraging every moment, leveraging every single moment, every single moment. And the ones where, I've been sharing all along the authentic part, which is, you know, I've completely transitioned my business, and it's been really hard to start from scratch. It's been really intense, not hard, but intense. And every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, I am tasked with, I gotta do this funnel. I gotta work on this thing. I've gotta call this guy. Every day, you know, every day we're faced with, oh, I got to pay those freaking bills. I've got to, right? And yet, if let's just all of us in this moment spin it on its head, right? In this moment, spin it on its head. What if we don't have to do anything? It's just the next step. That's all it is. What if we don't have to wrestle with our ego? And I'm saying this to myself too. What if we didn't wrestle with our ego and we just said, oh, take a nice deep breath. What's next? What's the next task? What's the next step? What's the next thing? And it might be cleaning up that closet. And we don't have to look at it as I have to fight my ego or feel guilty or whatever. It's just the next thing. What if that's all it was? It's just what's next. You know, I had a very, very challenging day, I think it was Tuesday, where I had, for three different times, in really big ways, I had to stand up for myself. And it was hard. You know, you guys might not believe this, but I find that hard. I'm not a fan of conflict. Well, no one is, but I actually have spent a lot of my life avoiding it because it was not safe to move into any kind of perceived conflict. So I would avoid it like the plague. And instead, I would judge them, and I would yell at them in my shower, and I would, right, avoiding all contact. And, you know, Tuesday, I had three different people. I had to stand up and say, no, this is not working for me. And I had to get through the whole emotional piece about why was I so upset? Why was I so upset? And I got to, you know, it's these questions about what's going on here. What am I feeling? Noticing, and then using it. So I noticed that there is a part of me that really thrived on being a victim. And I'm not saying that facetiously. There's that part of me that thrived on being a victim because when I was in victim mode, I was creating a really strange, warped world, but a world nonetheless that helped me to survive a very challenging childhood. And we've all done it. We've all had these wild and crazy childhoods that we had to survive. And we created these wild and crazy coping mechanisms and these wild and crazy beliefs and these wild and crazy patterns that flowed out of the beliefs and the coping mechanisms. And I was right there in it. And I was like, wow, there's a part of me that needs to be a victim in order to feel safe. Isn't that crazy? And yet, when we look at it, when we shine the light of consciousness on these things, when we look at it and we say, wow, look at what I've been doing, and we pause and do a little spontaneous transformation in that moment, and I said to that little girl, you are amazing. The crap and the gyrations you have created in the weirdest, cutest, amazing, most dysfunctional ways have saved me. Thank you, little one. So let's all just turn to all the thousands maybe of little ones that have, because each little one has had, in any one instance of trauma, there are four or five or six different little ones that have had a different conclusion about what happened, about who we are and what life is. So let's just turn in this moment and just pretend for a moment. And if at any time you're thinking, oh, this is weird, or this is not okay, or this is, I can't do this, or I'm not feeling it, just say to yourself these words. What if I did feel it? What would that be like? And then use the words, I'm going to pretend right now that I'm in this process. Those two things. What if I were feeling it? What if I were experiencing? What would that be like? And I'm pretending. I'm going to pretend right now that I'm feeling it. Those two things will get you in the process quicker than anything. Okay? So everyone turn around and just look at all the little ones. And just, and you know, I still have a lot. I've got a freaking stadium full of kids still. Ah, crap. God bless them. And let's just turn to them and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your brilliance. Thank you for the ways that you had to see the world in order to get through, in order to survive. Thank you. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the time that you had to, that you took over my mind in order for me to feel safe. Thank you. And now we see it. Now we see the patterns. Now we see what's really going on. And now we see that, you know, recently my coach said, your mind was just lying to you about them. I thought that was so brilliant. That's exactly what happened. My mind was lying to me about you know, what was really happening. That's why I was reacting so violently. That they're this and they're that and they're this and they're difficult and blah, 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 and whatever it is. And when I look at them from a mind-oriented perspective, all the things I was saying was true. And yet, when I look at them from my mind is lying about them and see their soul, I'm like, oh, my God, that's not true. It's not who they are. That's just it's just exactly what we experience. It's just 1,000 little ones that have taken over the mind. And they have no choice but to move into that space. And one more thought about this, you know, just telling my story, is that when I was there and I was having this conflict with these people, so many wonderful things happened. I got to see immediately that there are simply two souls bumping, crashing into each other. That's all that was happening. There was something there for them and there was something there for me. That's all that was happening. There was no wrong or right or good or bad. There were just two souls crashing into each other with their crazy wild belief systems and coping mechanisms that were crashing into each other in order to break free, to break and then free. Break and then free, you know, break down before the breakthrough, break and then free, break free from each other's, from our individual patterns. And we come together in these relationships to crash into each other and then wake up. And in that waking up, we are different. So why do we crash into each other? Because there's this magnetic brilliance that the soul understands. There's this wild and crazy algorithm of the soul that knows that that person there is going to help you heal this. And there are master teachers, the ones that are, you know, for some individuals, some of you may be experiencing this, like mine is minor, you know, by comparison to what some people are involved with. You know, the break free really is freeing yourself from the person and leaving. That may be part of the journey for some of you. That wasn't for me, but the reality is we crash into these people so that we can discover the little ones within us that got so hurt and honor them and love them and allow them to express and allow them to be heard so they get to finally release and purge and unwind it to the point where they can let it go and let us go and let the grasp of the mind go. and move into love. And so the final thing about this is that the people that I was in conflict with on that day had no choice but to react the way they reacted, because my vibrational field required it. My vibrational field, my universe, was based on the universal law that I wasn't supported. And so anyone who entered my universe when that law was in its full thrust had no choice but to honor that law and say, okay, I won't support you. No choice. And it's a deep unconscious agreement that happens in those moments, that we have within our universal framework the law. And my law on that day, and my law that has been around for a while, is I am not supported. And so these people said, okay, you're right. Right? And there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's just a mechanical process that the universe has created for us. So when we understand what the universal law is, and we look at the person and realize all the things that are happening, and in turn, we are walking into their universe likely at the same time. That's the two souls crashing into each other. And then in that moment, we can realize all the juicy amazingness of discernment that can come clear, as in, wow. And so in Beth, in your case, you know, that when you're wobbly and vulnerable, it feels lonely because there's someone out there who's going to yell at you or knock you down and make you wrong. Hey, buddy. Come here. Sorry, my cat is talking through this. my kittens are going to be 1 year old in 6 days, and this one here that's yelling is a healer. He keeps telling me in my dreams, I'm a healer. I'm supposed to be there when you do these shows. So if you hear him meowing, don't get distracted. Just know that it's him saying, yep. He's offering his energy in support of you. So hopefully so Betts, when the task is, I know what you're talking about because I do this a lot too, which is, there's something I need to be doing, and then there's the dessert, right? There's, you know, mm-hmm. like for me, creating my music and writing fiction is dessert. That comes way after creating my funnels, right? Creating the business back end to get people like you guys here. There's so much advertising out there that it takes a lot to create a relationship with people like you that are here in order to get you to engage with this amazing material. And I wish it weren't like that, but it's okay that it is. But it's not necessarily my favorite thing to do, is to create all the tactics, all the copywriting. Copywriting's kind of fun, but all of it. It's not necessarily my favorite thing. It's not my first thing I want to do. I'd rather write my fiction and write my music. And so what do I do? Well, I changed the dynamic of it, right? So, and I'm still playing with this. It's sometimes it's dessert, and sometimes it's just tapping into your soul and saying, what do I want to do next? And your soul always, always points you in the direction of what's next. So let's just do a little process here right now around that for everyone, for the next step. So everyone just take a nice deep breath. And I want to thank you, Betts, for that beautiful sharing. So I'm going to put everyone into a little bit of whisper mode here again, and I'm going to walk you all through a little process. And by the way, Star 2 will raise your hand if you'd like a session with me. So those who are on the web call, you can hit the little button that says raise hand, and those who are dialed in, use your telephone keypad to press Star 2. And if you're on the webcast, I strongly recommend that you dial in. If you are on the webcast, please dial in so you can get a session here. Okie doke. So everyone just take a nice deep breath. Right. Just make a little note for myself. Okay, good. And we're going to go, we're going to just feel this beautiful moment and allow ourselves to be enmeshed in that observer energy. That's it. Take a nice deep breath. That's it. And just feel that still point of the moment. Beautiful. Good. That's it. And now bring your attention into the very middle point, middle of your brain. Just feel that center point of your brain. For those who know anatomy, it's right where the pineal gland is, and it doesn't matter if you know that or not. Just bring your attention to the middle point of your brain. That's it. And now there's a... Okay, we're going to take the slide today. There's this beautiful... if you look behind at the back of your head, there's this beautiful, bright, circular light. It's beautiful. So bright and nurturing. And as you go towards that and you kind of look into the light, you see that it's a big, huge slide, almost like a water slide, like a tube made of light. And as you, if you were to follow it, you'd see that it goes all the way out and curves around back into the back of your, of the bottom of your shoulder blades, right there. And it's moving right in there. And going, and then the tube continues straight through all the wormholes and right into your sacred chamber. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a beautiful slide right into your sacred chamber, okay? So when you're ready, go ahead and jump into the slide and go, whee! And feel yourself moving towards this beautiful energy of love. Feel yourself moving through all the wormholes and getting playfully dumped straight into your sacred chamber. And you're safe, and you're taken care of, and there's no bumps or anything. It's just a perfect, beautiful ride. Just pretend that that's all happening, and feel, there you go, and feel yourself move right into your sacred chamber. That's it. It was kind of fun. And as you tumble into your sacred chamber, you feel like it's almost like tumbling into Tempur-Pedic softness, and you can feel that as you stand up now in your sacred chamber, you're in this beautiful place of stillness. You're in this beautiful place of, just concentrated love and stillness. That's it. That's it. And just hang out there for a second. Breathe it in. And if you're feeling like you're not quite there, then just pretend that you are. So even if you have an inkling of an inkling of an inkling that you're there, then you're there. So just have that inkling and watch the inkling expand into the whole. And be present in that place. That's it. That's it, beautiful. That's it. A little unwinding here as you stand so firmly in this place of stillness. I want you to notice that this place of stillness is actually the stillness of concentrated pure love. And as you stand in this stillness of pure love, you notice something really powerful and fascinating, that this stillness is you. This love, it's you. This is you. This is your I am presence. This is you in your I am. So you just notice that and take it in, that this is you at the divine level. This place represents you at the divine level. That's it. That's it. There's a beautiful unwinding here as you experience that. Beautiful. And now, right before you, well, actually, it's just over there, and then before you. So just move over to where this beautiful altar is. And right before you is this remarkable altar. It is powerful, and it is magical. It's a magical altar. It is managed by your soul. Your soul has full, beautiful control and support. It's a supportive place of this beautiful altar. And this is the altar of what's next. And as you stand before it, you're going to start noticing that there's all the things that you have to do in your life right now. There's the daily life stuff, then there's the big project stuff, there's the dream stuff, there's the relaxation stuff, there's all of it right there in front of you. Right there in front of you. All of it's kind of piled up in a mishmash on this beautiful altar. So I want you to just notice some of the things that are popping out. There might be a few things in there that are shining. And just look at the few things that are shining. And just notice it, and just, you know, there's no interpretation or label or judgment or analysis that's required. Just notice if that part of you is requiring analysis or is doing things like, oh, I remember when she did something like this when, that's just your mind trying to distract you away. And just acknowledge it and say, thanks, mind. I know that you've been working hard at this beautiful habitual distraction for a long time, and I appreciate it. And right now, I'm going to focus right here, and I would love it if you would just stand beside me and witness, my beautiful mind. Just be the witness for this few minutes right here. Wow, it feels like all of your mind said, okay. So just notice that your mind's now simply in witness mode. It is not interjecting any longer or distracting. And so now as you stand in front of this beautiful table with no distractions, you just notice a few things, and there's no judgment or label, you just notice it. Right. Okay, so now we're going to ask the table to take all of this mishmash and put it in an order of priority. Okay? So we're going to take the mishmash and put it in order of priority. Now, it's going to go into order of priority in a way that works for you and your process and how you are as a being and as a soul, okay? So it may go into a three-dimensional system. It might go into a mind map. It might go into just a list. It might go whatever it is for you, trust it. Whatever it looks like for you, trust it, okay? So we're going to ask this table and the soul that is in charge of the table, with our absolute permission and with our clear, awakened consciousness present, to organize everything on the table in order of priority, meaning what's next, then what's after that, and then what's after that. Okay? So here we go. It's going to happen right now. Okay, good. So it's organizing. Good. Good. Good, good, good. Now I want you to notice something. I just noticed something. That something that I judge myself for is actually that I do, that I think I should stop doing, is actually on the table. It's actually one of the things of priority that are on the table. I want you to notice if that's true. There may be something that you've been doing that you're feeling guilty about that you've been doing. Or like mine, for example, is watching TV. I think I watch too much TV. But when I look at it on the table, I'm good. And ask into that one. Ask into the thing that you're surprised at. I asked into the watching TV, and it's like it's how you wind down. It's a good thing. Isn't that amazing? So look at the things on the table that are like things that you felt guilty about that are a good thing. Now, I'm also seeing that sometimes the amount of TV I watch is being reduced a little bit on the table in favor of some other things. So I'm noticing that I get to reduce the amount of TV I watch in favor of writing my song or writing in my fictional book. That's it. And as you notice those things, just go, oh, that makes sense. And notice how your body kind of goes, oh, thank God. Okay, I don't have to figure this stuff out. Sorry, I was about to say the bad word. I don't have to figure this stuff out. I can just go in here and trust my soul's guidance. That's it. And I see it, the stuff that, you know, I don't enjoy as much is actually better after I've done some of the stuff that is dessert. So do the dessert stuff first. That's on my table. What's on yours? So the dessert stuff for me is writing my fiction and music. That if I do a little bit of that first, I'll have way more space for the other stuff that is actually on the table too. And on top of it, I'm noticing, and I want you to notice this too, and I, this stuff is channeled, so they show me what to notice so that I can share with you. So it's not just me doing my process. It's me actually them showing me so that I can share with you what you might notice too. The other thing I'm noticing is that the things that I think I don't enjoy doing, I can actually do with a lot more fun and love energy in it when I've taken care of the dessert, when I've done some of the dessert things that I call. You know, my dessert, for example, is writing my music and books, fiction books. So when I do a little bit of the dessert first, I actually have more space and capacity to do the stuff that feels more like work. Well, isn't that fascinating? What does yours look like? That might be true for you too. That's it. So notice that there's a brilliant dance, and that what's happening is that so many times we're requesting our mind to figure this out. And as you can see, the mind is amazed as it's standing beside us that this was so easy. Because the mind is not designed to figure this stuff out. That's the soul's job. So as we stand in front of this beautiful table, we see that the soul knows what to do. Because it feels good and right. Is that true? Does that feel true? So, Betsy, what's that feel like for you?
It feels spot on.
Yeah.
And my mind was so glad to just sit and observe. And as you did the process, it didn't try to interfere. It was amazing.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it was.
And, so one other thought based on what you wrote. One other thought is that to know is that this is a practice. So what you just did here is awesome and feels great, and you might have to do it again today. Today. Mm-hmm. You'll certainly have to do it again tomorrow, and for sure the next day. This is a practice. We are in a time of the subtleties. We are in the vigilance, as you've been hearing in the deeper trust work that you've been doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the subtleties here. We're in the vigilant parts. This is the universe isn't going to let up because we got it. The universe is going to go, oh, my God, they got it. Yay, yay, yay. Give her more. Oh, my God, you got that, too. Yay, yay. Give her more. So in our mind, we're saying, I need a break. But no, this is the break. The break is the universe pushing you and you hearing it. And instead, flipping it on its head and saying, what if I'm not being pressured? What if it's just the next step? And it's just our mind that has told us a little lie that this is pressure. What if that's not true? What if it's not pressure? Oh, my God, did you feel that release? Holy crap, that was huge. Holy crap, that was for me too. Holy crap, what if it's not pressure? What if it's just the universe saying, yes, she's getting it, here some more.
It's like someone hugging you, like, really enthusiastically, and let's go do more.
Yes! That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And sometimes, because we are in a new time, and we are being, there's a demand that is happening in the universe. You know, my friend Alison Armstrong had levels of pressure in getting things done and of getting what you need, too. So it starts with an ask, then it moves into an insist, then it moves into a demand, and then it moves into an enforce. And I believe that is also the journey of the soul. So we ask for something nicely, we don't get it. We have to move into an insist, and if we don't get it then we have to move into a demand. And if we don't get it then we have to enforce, which is the consequences of someone not honoring our request. that's the stages of pressure in getting what we want that Allison outlines. Those stages of pressure are also true for the universe on us. The universe asks us. And if we say no, but you know, they ask us, there's this new path here your soul intended. It's in the plan. It's in the blueprint. We're going on that path. And you're saying, yeah, but this path over here is known. And it seems more comfortable, even though I hate it. Yeah. It's comfortable. And so the universe does a nice little ask. And it's like, well, you know, this is really where we're going. And it gives us all kinds of hints and clues as to this is where we're going. And then we say, no, you know what? My mind knows better. And then we stick on this other path that is more comfortable. You know, it's like that old comfortable shoe that we didn't really notice has big holes, and it is actually, the instep is gone, so it's actually no longer supporting our arch and so on. And yet it's the old comfortable one, and it worked a long time ago, so it's got to be the right way. And the universe is saying, no, there's this other way. There's a new shoe. And so then it moves into, okay, well, we've got to insist because she's not freaking budging. So they insist, and the insist is, you know, let's say with my business starts to go down a bit. And people are in my universe in the midst of an insist, and they just don't do as much work as they used to, right? My team. And so it's like, yeah, but this is the path. This is where all the money was generated. This is has to be. And the universe says that. She's not, universe, which is us, by the way, it's our soul, says, oh, still not listening. Okay, we're going to go into demand. And the demand says the business no longer works, that people can't find her, that there's technical difficulties, that there is, you know, those kind of things, and that the staff gets upset and some leave. And it's like, wow, there's an insist there. It's like, and yet we're still not listening. And so the universe goes, well, the only way she's going to get to the new path is to enforce. And the enforce is the business does that part of the business is gone. It's over. It's finished. And then we have no choice but to be on the new path kicking and screaming. When instead we could actually move into every moment and use it. And so we never have to go into the insist. But right now, from a human perspective, all of our souls and the earth soul collectively, the one that is here on this planet right now, all of us are part of the one, is in a demand mode and is demanding that we change, demanding that we wake up and be us, be ourselves, be ourselves, be ourselves, be ourselves, be the I am, be the I am, be the I am, be the I am. And so in every moment, this is a vigilant practice. Every moment we are in demand until we're not. And I suspect we're going to be in demand a little bit on this planet for a little while. And we don't require a break. If our soul needed to give us a break, we'd have what we would call a break. That is a mind-oriented label to say it's too much, and it's not true. It's just our mind saying that it's too much. So what if it wasn't too much? What if it was exactly right? What if we are receiving exactly what we needed? What would that be like? What would that be like? If we were receiving exactly what we needed. And for some of us, that might be a little hard to hear. I had a little ripple moment in that moment going, oh, really? So, thank you, Betsy.
Thank you.
And so you didn't get an official session yet. That was just reading yours and leveraging it. So we're going to move into some session work. If you'd like a session, press star 2. Star 2 will raise your hand. And if you're on the webcast, I strongly recommend that you dial in so you can receive a session if you'd like. Okay, so we're going to British Columbia. 3262, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi. Just what you were doing was pretty powerful for me because I'm really
good.
Working on creating something new, and sometimes I just feel overwhelmed and I'll think I can't do it. I find that belief coming up quite a bit. That
yeah. Yeah, it's understandable. I think many, 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 many people are doing that because the whole universe is asking everyone. And, you know, it's go time. We're at a demand and force time right now from a humanity perspective. So we are being asked to step up. And in our old paradigm, it does feel like, based on our old paradigm, the amount of pressure is definitely higher now because we went from ask insistent to demand. And so it does feel like it's a lot, but it's not. It's not, because the universe is answering our call to do what's next. So let's talk about this a little bit more. The universe is answering our call and answering our prayers. And your call and prayer is for something bigger, right?
Yes.
Is for a big project, right?
So,
yes. So in order to be in alignment with that big project, you have to go through quite a bit of transformation. Quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, my world started to fall apart. My business started to fall apart when I said I wanted to reach 1 billion people. And careful what you ask for. actually, that's not true. Ask for whatever you want. But I was certainly not in alignment with that. I get to look in the rearview mirror in hindsight and say, there's no way I could have handled 1 billion people. So for the last 2-3 years, I have been slowly but surely in the gap, in God's area of preparation, in the gap between what I intended and it coming to fruition. We are being realigned. We are being reworked, rejiggered. We are moving into a new vibrational frequency so that we can be a vibrational match for what it is that we want. If we were a vibrational match for what we wanted, we would have it right now. So just know that we're not. If you don't have it, what you want, you're not a vibrational match, period. So instead use that, you know, instead say, wow, I am not a vibrational match for what I want. How do I know? Because I don't have it. So God is preparing me. If you don't want like God, just say source or divinity or my soul. My soul is preparing me. I'm in God's area of preparation. I'm in the gap. And that's cool because it means that there is no stagnation. There's no block. There's no self-sabotage. There's only the gap. There's only this area of preparation where we are being asked to realign, asked to look at the things that there are so many things that I had a lot more ego. When I made that request for 1 billion people. In fact, 1 billion people was probably in part based on ego. And so the universe said, okay, but we gotta kind of shake that ego out of you. Guy Finley said something to me a couple days ago. He said, we were having a conversation by phone, and he said, yep, God is squeezing the impurities out of you. All the things that have happened since my sister passed in 2013 has been God squeezing the impurities out. That's it. And so when we can look at the project, now look at the project from that perspective. Now, the fact that you're in the gap, that you've had a big ask into the universe and you says yes, and the universe is going like this, you know, with their hand. Yes! All right, Jasmine, here we go. And you stepped right into the gap. And every step, if you can look back, you're about three-quarters of the way through the gap. Does that feel true?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So if you look back at that three-quarter, the three-quarters of the stuff that you've done that have allowed you to take the next step and the next step and the next step, you'll see clearly that you've made a lot of progress. Is that true?
That's true.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of work.
A lot of work. That's right.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of work. And so the universe provided, though, in order to, the work came at a nudge from the universe, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it came as a big sledgehammer at first. But
yes, of course.
Kept going.
Yeah, yeah, it usually does when we make a big request and we're so far away from it. The sledgehammer generally shows up in short order.
Yeah.
But we don't have to look at it even as a sledgehammer anymore. You know, that's the mind's definition. we can look at it as, oh, there was a big ask and the universe swoops in with support. So what if it's not a sledgehammer, it's actually a support? But it was big support. It was a you know, the part of the support I received is you know, it's like Mother Earth grabbed me by the scruff of my neck and put me into the middle of the frickin' Amazon forest, and I'm saying that literally. I had to go on this trip to the Amazon to find myself, to discover myself, to get away from the noise long enough to hear my soul. Wow. So I'm getting emotional as I talk about that. Right? That was a sledgehammer, because it wasn't fun. I mean, people ask, would you do it again? No freaking way. It's 98 degrees humidity, and my knee went out. I struggled every step of that trip. You know, I did ayahuasca, and I pooped my pants, and I peed my pants, and I puked, and it was awful. And it was the best thing I've ever done, because I was in the gap. I was being prepared, and I knew it. So when we kind of, let's all stand right now and knowing that we are in the gap, that we are being prepared, that we are being asked to release some of these things. And maybe it's no longer 2x4s or sledgehammers. It's just a strong, beautiful push out of the nest. The bird doesn't think it's a sledgehammer, does it? They know that it's mom that just pushed us out of the nest. That's all that happened. What does that feel like, Jasmine?
It just like my heart just opened, because I know that in my cells, actually.
That's right. That's right. So I want to just tell everyone, you know, and you, Jasmine, what just happened here, okay? So we just went on a healing conversation that actually created physical transformation. And the physical and what happened is that your heart opened so powerfully and your mind let go. and the mind can only let go when the heart takes over. The mind is not designed to run our lives. It's not designed to make decisions. It's not designed to figure all this stuff out. It's designed to take action upon the impulses of the soul. And the impulses, I found, when I did the wellness attunement, man, that was such a cool thing when I got the I am impulses that channeled through. I am, pulse. I am pulse. The I am pulse cannot be heard and cannot be experienced when the heart is shut down. It can't be. So what you just experienced is now what happens in this moment is your heart is open right now. Just feel it. Feel how open your heart is. Just tap into that. Shine the light of consciousness on it so it can awaken and strengthen even more. There we go. Good. Wow, it's big, right? It's a big opening. I want you to notice that the mind is now in a slightly different position with this heart energy, this heart opening. Does that feel true?
Yes.
And so the mind is now poised for action. Does that feel true?
Yeah, it just feels like my heart's filling my whole body.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so what's interesting, and this might sound a little weird, is that the manifestation, the creation of things in the world, the magic of manifestation, you know, some people call it the law of attraction, but this manifestation energy, the pinpoint of initiation comes from the mind. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So your mind is now in a place of pristine manifestation because it is completely supported and guided now and honored and loved and seen by this beautiful, huge heart. Does that feel true?
Yes. It feels counterintuitive, but it feels true.
Yeah, it does. It is counterintuitive. There's no doubt about it. That's why it's all so confusing, because it is 100% backwards, counterintuitive. that the mind is actually where all the creation of what we want happens in the world, and yet the mind is constantly creating, usually from a place of dysfunction based on the things that happen to us, from a heart that's been shut down because there's been too much pain. So we constantly create and recreate and recreate this pain because that's the only direction the mind is getting. So in this moment, I can. It's almost like I can see you picturing it as the observer, this mechanism, the old mechanism of how things used to work. Is that true, what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so you're able to step back right now and observe this crazy mechanism, but it's just what is. Right? Your mind has been creating from a place of dysfunction because it had no other choice until this very moment. There's been other moments, Jasmine. It's not just this one, and you know that. Over the last many years, in this three-quarter time of being in the gap, you've had many moments kind of like this, but this is a bit of a pinnacle that's pulling all the threads together. And in this moment of open heart, you're able to clearly see the mechanism of what was and why it was and have compassion for it. Have compassion for the part of you that would have done better if it could have. Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. And so here you stand in the heart. Here you stand with a body, and hopefully everyone's experiencing something of your own version of this. Your body is filled with this heart energy. Your mind is quiet and receptive.
Yes.
Does that feel true?
It's completely true.
Yeah.
It's just like
and
my
so
mind
at,
is just...
Yeah, it's quiet and receptive. And so in this moment, as you look at that table, at that altar, from this place, what's the next step in the gap here?
Writing.
Good. Yeah. And so now what happens is that your mind in this partnership is ready to take action. Does that feel true?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
So the mind's action will be severalfold. The mind's actions will be very tactical, computer, or if you're doing writing by hand, get the right pen, the right notebook. The mind will act also in terms of, this is the I am pulse that is now allowing the mind to take pure action, inspired action. And the mind will get the pen, the computer, whatever is needed. The mind will schedule time in your calendar to write. The mind will start doing research. So whatever you're writing about, the mind will do an intellectual, will use its amazing intellect. The intellect is important to do some research. But it's completely at the service and honoring the I am pulse, the impulse of the heart. Does that feel true?
Yes, I can actually see myself researching right now.
That's right. And that's the mind in its perfection and in engaged, committed partnership with the heart, and in turn the heart is committed to the mind because the heart is open. When the heart opens, it is the commitment to the mind, and when the heart is open, it creates a space for the mind to be this place of brilliant action and service. And when the mind is in brilliant action and service, it manifests quickly. So I want you to just take yourself into a slight future here from this place. Just pretend with me for a moment, Jasmine, and the rest of you can do the same, that from this place, you're going to keep moving and keep moving and keep moving in this beautiful line of manifestation, right? And I want you to see that there's an acceleration that happens here, that the gap starts to, that three-quarter now becomes like an eighth of an eighth. Does that feel true?
Yes.
So that's left, an eighth of an eighth that's left.
Yeah.
And the acceleration happens because you are in a powerful place of soul-centered, soul-oriented, soul-aligned manifestation. The mind is able to be in partnership in this beautiful, quiet, still point of action. I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but it's the still point that allows the I am pulse to create action. And so
it
that accelerates.
Really,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it feels really just moving too easily and effortlessly. It's just like,
yes.
It's, yeah. I just know the
it's
next
like
step,
butter.
The next step. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like a nice group butter. Yeah. And I want you to know that this feeling that you have right now, you might lose it at some point, but it's not lost. It's just the old habits might show up. And that's okay, because we know that the old habits are 100% there to support you in the gap, to get you aligned with what you want. So any old habits of belief that say this is hard or I'm a victim, like this week I had a 100% day of being a victim. And yet I was also the observer the whole time, which I wasn't a couple years back. And I was able to see, wow, this is 100% here for me. That victim mode is the part of me that's in the gap that must honor and allow that victim mode to be heard and purged and seen and expressed and acknowledged and shine the light of consciousness on it so I'm awake to it so that it will never appear in the way it's ever appeared before. And that that took me another step in the gap to be in alignment with what it is I want.
Yeah, that makes sense to me too.
Yeah, so it might, these old mind habits might show up, and in that moment you can remember these words: "It's here for me. It's here to strengthen this new neural pathway." Sorry, excuse me. It's here to strengthen this new neural pathway of my heart in partnership with my mind. With my heart supporting the manifestation miracle that is my mind. My mind is the creative force in this world of three dimensions. And so for some of you, I can feel a little bit of fear of, oh, crap, my mind is shit. My mind's a mess. And that is what's manifesting? And the answer is yes, and it's okay. It's gotten you here. It's okay. And now you're awakened to it. Now you're awake to the mechanism of your brilliant manifestation, which is the mind. And when the mind is playing with a heart that is open, and an open heart means a powerful heart, by the way, it doesn't, and a vulnerable heart. And the vulnerable heart is an open heart, and an open heart is a strong, strong heart. And that strong heart in partnership with this still creates the opportunity to have a partnership with a mind that can now be still, because it's now knows that the heart's in charge. The heart is present, that we are awakened to the soul. We're awakened to the soul impulse, I am pulse. And a mind that understands that and knows that is extremely powerful, is a remarkable creative force, a force that is so powerful, Jasmine, that you alone with that, with your heart and your mind in that quiet, still place of manifestation can change the planet, can change everything, can reach millions. Does that feel true?
Yeah. Just a bit emotional at the moment, but yes.
Yeah, and there's one more piece to this blessings, this manifestation piece, and that's something that actually my friend Mary coached me on this week and reminded me of, which is that it's not about doing to get, which has been a big process of mine because that felt safe. If I get this, then I'll be safe. So it's not about doing to get. This is a whole new paradigm. It's about being, and that allows receiving. And there's another little piece that Mary reminded me of. Mary's a brilliant abundance coach. She reminded me of the blessing. The blessing.
Yes.
So what we're doing in our lives is creating blessings for ourselves and for everyone else. We are a blessing. And so in the midst of that manifestation, in the midst of knowing that your heart is open and your mind is quiet, and the mind that is quiet is manifesting in the most pristine, beautiful ways. Knowing that. That's right, just tap into that energy. That what's happening out of that, what's what's being the fruit of that is the blessing. And so people in the world, through your work and through your being, get to receive the blessing that that the soul can now, the soul can now move through this beautiful opening. This bandwidth is opened of inspiration, and the soul can say, here's what's next and here's what's next, in order for you to be a blessing to everyone around you and to be a blessing through your work to individuals. So everyone just picture themselves in your sacred chamber right now. Everyone hang out in your sacred chamber. And just over there, there's a place that's an area that's in the stars. So we're going to go into that area that's in the stars. This is the place of beautiful manifestation. And everyone just stand in that place in the stars. And open up your arms in that place in the stars. So that your chest is open, your shoulders in that place in the stars. So you can, you don't have to do it physically, although you can. So that you're standing in that place in the stars, the shoulder blades roll down, your chest wide open. And as you know that your heart is the place of the most pristine, amazing brilliance of divinity itself, feel your soul connecting into your heart with your, as you stand there with your arms open in the place in the stars. And feel the, it's as if you become a portal for blessings, that your soul delivers blessings from the infinite and the eternal energy that has always been the infinite love, pure love. And it moves straight through your heart into the world. And you watch the people that are impacted. And again, you stand in the observer, so you don't have to have any kind of, I did that. You have an energy of course. Well, of course. Oh, how usual. Oh, how usual. That you stand there and just be you and stand in the energy of your brilliance and stand in the energy of your heart and stand with the beautiful partner that is your still, quiet mind that is ready for action. And you stand in that place and allow the blessings of your soul to just simply move through this portal of you into the world and touch many, many, many souls.
Such a beautiful energy.
That's it. It's a nice image for you.
It's beautiful. Feel this beautiful light flowing down.
Yeah, that's just you. It's all you. It's all you. Thank you, Jasmine. Are you feeling complete?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was really beautiful. That was beautiful for so many people. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to move my attention on now. Thanks, love.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, honey. And we're going to go to Washington. Last four digits are 1835, and you're on the air.
I think that's me. Hello?
That's you. Yes.
Okay, I'm Jenna.
Hi, Jenna.
Hi. I'm scared to talk. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Don't be scared.
I'm really excited.
I mean, you know
so
what?
Much.
Be scared. Be scared and excited. It's all good. Allow it all.
So, I have trouble articulating a concern that I've been working on for a while. But it's a lot about feeling guided to, like, specifically strongly to move to San Francisco, and I don't even know what's there. I feel, like, a little overwhelmed in terms of I don't know what I need, how I'd afford that, what I'd do there. And that's the sort of, hold on. I've done things like that before, just jumped and let it figure itself out. And it's very scary because it's always uncomfortable in the middle,
yeah.
And I don't like that part. And so part of me is balking a little bit. And also, you know, I want to have a little bit of a plan too. So Another thing that's happening, though, is I feel like I can't tell if it's just me distracting myself, but there's a person that I've fallen in love with who's sort of here. I'm on the other coast. I'm in West Virginia. And he's saying he wants to move with me. I don't know whether that'll happen or not. But I feel like it keeps getting blocked, this relationship, and it also keeps taking my attention from it, too. And it's stuff to do with some stuff that is interesting to me, like working on some healing with sexual trauma and with my parents and family, stuff that's really, really, really juicy and good stuff. And I still can't feel like I'm making any progress. And I can't tell if I'm just, like, distracting myself or if I just have to go all the way through this. And I just keep getting stressed and overwhelmed.
So you're stressed and overwhelmed from the relationship or from the moving or
from
all of it?
I think so. I mean, I include the part about the moving because it almost seems off topic, but at the same time it may be entirely on topic. But, you know, there's stuff coming up about sexual trauma. We have a lot of energy between us that's reminding me of old past relationships. And at least he's talking and, saying the right things and talking about how to move through it. And that's what I want. I really want a relationship where I can process and move as opposed to repeat the old traumas. And that's exciting for me. But I also just don't feel safe. And that's my real need, is to feel safe. And how do I get – I've tried breaking up with him before, and I haven't yet followed through with it. I just seem to not.
So you don't feel safe with him?
Yeah.
Okay, and why don't you, if you were to kind of nail a single sentence to why you don't feel safe with him, what is it?
For me, it feels like an energy of abuse to me. And that is some of it. I know it is because I have a history of that and so does he. And it's something we're both starting to look at and take apart.
Right.
So
is he abusive?
I know it's not.
Or it's just bringing up abuse. He's not abusive.
He's not like literally abusive. He's just got that energy inside him, and I think, you know, that reminds me of, you know, the suppressed power and the not fulfilled creative potential that's kind of coming out the wrong ways. I sort of feel it, even though he's not acting out really, and it's just keeping me from feeling intimate with him and safe.
Right. Okay. So you know that part's all you, right? That has
Which
nothing
part?
To do with it.
You
know. Oh. Yeah, that's
100% I know that it's
you.
At least also me. That's as far as I've gotten. Like,
so
me too.
You're seeing suppressed power that has not, there's zero evidence of it. You're just saying it's in him because of his abuse. Has he had a temper tantrum?
Not a tantrum, no.
What have you witnessed?
He has crossed my sexual boundaries once.
Okay. And what happened?
With that event, it was a time I didn't want to be intimate with him, and I was asleep, actually, and he started being intimate with me.
And what happened with that? You talked to him about him?
Yeah, he's been really supportive. In fact, he's going to see a counselor specifically for supporting him with that. And
Great.
He's open to talking about it and respectful.
Right. Okay, good. So there's a little bit of evidence there. That's good. And there's also a lot of evidence that he's willing to take responsibility and change. Do you get that?
Yeah,
too?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And there's at the moment, there's only a certain percentage of the population that is willing to do that.
Yeah.
Are you aware of that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That most at the moment, that's why we're in a state of demand right now universally,
mm-hmm.
is because the majority of people will not take responsibility and will not seek
mm-hmm.
therapy.
So there's
this part of you that is saying, and understandably so, by the way, Jenna, I'm not judging. I get it.
Yeah.
The part of you that experienced abuse has to push and poke on anything that could maybe not be safe.
Yeah.
So understandable. So that, first of all, just know uh-huh. that is absolutely appropriate and understandable behavior. But I want you to become aware uh-huh. and awaken to that is also a behavior pattern that is not who you really are.
Hmm.
Does that feel true?
Yeah.
So a super confident soul that is heart opened with a mind that kind of like what the work we just did with Jasmine, that the mind is in full partnership and it no longer needs to control, and it no longer is quiet and in response to the impulse of the soul. That paradigm cannot happen when we are in a place of pointing at safety, poking at, is it safe? That is the mind that's in charge, understandably so again, right? Of course, mm-hmm. Of course that's what you would be. Of course, you know, yeah. I come from a lot of sexual abuse from childhood too. Of course that's what I would be. I spent most of my life poking at everything. And, you know, the Ferdinand the Bull, right? I don't know the story there, but a bull that's really beautiful and lovely and loving and honoring that gets poked and poked and poked and poked and poked is going to explode, right? Oh. And that's what I did a lot in my life, which is I poked at the things that are safety to see if they would explode. And if you poke something long enough, it will. And if you focus your attention on the thing that could possibly explode over and over and over and over again and do tiptoeing around it and dancing around it, that is a mind that is 100% focused. And as we just shared, the mind is the creative force of your universe. This is where all of what you create comes from. Every single thing you've created in your life comes from the mind. So if mm-hmm. my mind, for example, is focused on pushing at that bull to see if it will be okay, and that's where my mind is, I don't think it's going to be okay. I don't think it's going to be okay. I don't think it's going to be okay. So I'm going to keep poking it to see if it's going to be okay. Guess what happens? It's not mm-hmm. going to be okay because that's where my mind is 100% focused. So instead, if we, and again, this is something that from an abuse perspective is absolutely understandable. This yeah. is correct behavior in many ways. But right in this moment, Jenna, you're here now having this conversation with me so that you can awaken your mind to that pattern, to the pattern of I've got, and not being able to see that you've got a good thing because there's a chance that because of his sexual abuse, he might not be a good thing.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and it's understandable.
I see it, I think. Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I'm saying I see it, I understand that it could explode if this is the way I keep going, yeah.
Yeah, if that you keep sense. Pushing, yeah, if your mind is 100% focused on what could happen that's wrong, you know, okay. it's going to push the bull until it's wrong because that's, the mind is the creative force. So let's notice that and let's just take a moment right here and step, and so for the rest of you do the same, step back from it, whatever you've been poking, that is, you're scared it's going to explode. Like for a lot of my mm-hmm. life, I poked at poverty, right? So I've had two moments now of really scary poverty, right? And mm-hmm. and that was okay too because for someone like me, I need to get right to the bottom in order to transform. And I think part of that is because when I'm at the bottom, I can guide people away from the bottom. You don't have to go to the bottom here, folks. So I get why all of that, you know, when we understand the mechanism of why and how all that stuff is happening, you know, we can now make new decisions, make new choices in those moments. And to me, it's about being responsible. And responsible, you've heard me say this in all of my courses, it's the ability to respond is created when we mm-hmm. have an open heart and a mind that's engaged. So step back now from that mechanism, okay? So the mechanism is, especially for those of us who have been sexually abused, which many of you here have been because you came out of me too, when you're looking at the pattern of the protection mechanisms that we've created and just look at the pattern, look at poking at the bull, right? And just step away from it for a minute. Just pretend for a minute that you can observe the part of you that is in that, okay? So you stepped out of your body, and you're now either behind it or beside it or in front of it, wherever the perspective is for you. And I want you to just look at the pattern. look at what that pattern is. So what does it look like to you as you step out of the pattern completely and observe the part of you that's in the pattern poking your boyfriend or whoever else in your life or situations in your life? What does it look like as the observer now stepping outside of it and just observing in a detached way that Jenna? The rest of you do the same.
What's coming to me is she's actually safe, like looking at her, like in the actual situation
wow.
she's sitting in is actually safe there.
Holy cow.
Where she is.
That's huge, Jenna. I don't know if you get that. That is enormous. I mean, this is breakthrough moment. That you can step outside and see that Jenna that is in that situation is actually safe.
Yeah, right here, right now it's safe.
What's that like?
Surprising.
Okay, so
surprising.
I want you to notice the qualification. I want you to notice the qualification you just made. And again, that qualification is understandable, and it came 100% from the mind. Okay? For here and now, she's safe.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Okay? So just notice that that's the mind.
Yeah.
And it's understandable why the mind would do that. Right? Because that, from sexual abuse, it was always that. Okay, for right this minute, I'm safe. Oh, my God, I can breathe for 10 seconds. But then
yeah,
I've got to get really alert again to see where it's going to be bad again. Understandable. But I want you to notice that your mind clicked in, okay?
Yeah.
And so I want you to just stand in, just notice that that's the mind that just clicked in. For here and now, I'm safe. And I want you to take another step outside of that. Okay, so now you're two steps away. You're now the observer, observing the mind that just said for here and now, and also able to observe the Jenna that's in the situation. The rest of you do the same from whatever situation you're in. Okay, so what's it now? What's it like looking at that part of you that just had to make that claim?
This one... not as clear. It's maybe a feeling of safety, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling of safety, yeah.
Okay, so she, to explain that to me, she needed to say that in order to feel safe? Is that what you mean? Or you're feeling safe by being in the observer?
Or both? I think I'm feeling safe by being in the observer.
Good.
I'm feeling like a picture of being in my grandparents' basement as a kid, and I'm not quite.
Okay, that's all right.
Getting a feeling.
It's okay. So just take the memory, and step outside of the memory. Just step outside. The memory doesn't matter, by the way, for any of you. I think I shared that quite a bit with you too. The memory does not matter at all. Okay, all that matters is now step outside of the memory, and bring your attention to the little one that was in that memory. Okay, and the rest of you can do the same if you're getting any kind of memory. Or you can bring your attention, for the rest of you, you can bring your attention to the little one that has been expressing the lack of safety. So in your instance, Jenna, you step outside of the memory and bring your attention to the little one. How old is she? It was in that memory.
It's maybe 13.
Okay. So you're going to just step outside, and you're going to invite her to step out of that memory with you.
Okay.
Okay. And so you're now going to be this really beautiful observer that is very detached and yet compassionate. Okay. So kind of like a Mother Mary energy, like the archetypal mother energy or a guardian angel or a fairy godmother. So what does it feel like to be the observer as detached, really, quite? There's space between you and her so that you are you and she is she. What does that feel like to be the observer?
Safe. So safe.
Good. So now you're safe as the observer, and the rest of you just notice what it feels like to be the observer and just now be present with that 13-year-old as the observer. And notice that it's kind of like the 13-year-old is finally with an adult who's super healthy. Does that feel true?
Um, it's hard to see, I think, for me right now.
Okay, what if it weren't hard? What would that be like? What would it be like if it weren't hard? If you were just the observer and that's all that was happening, what would that be like?
I'm a witness.
That's right. That's exactly right. You got it. You got it. So as not just a witness, but someone who is stable, who's present, who's infused with the divine light of their soul, who is the guardian angel, who is taking on the characteristics of the eternal and the infinite. Does that feel like that could be true?
Yeah.
Good. So as you stand in that energy and stand before this 13-year-old as that energy, what's that like?
I feel strange to be on the outside.
Good. Excellent. Yes, that is absolutely a perfect description. It feels strange to feel safe, to feel powerful.
Yeah.
Yes, of course it would. Of course you'd feel strange, but just notice that it's real, that it's happening. Strange is okay. Strange is okay. It's just a new experience. And so, Jenna, I want you to know this is another one of those little breakthrough moments where you can actually stand with consciousness in this energy of the observer. Does that feel true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Now, as the observer, you're going to be present now for the 13-year-old you. Okay, you're going to really hold strong and firm in that energy of this infinite and eternal energy that's within you. Does that feel true? Good. And Okay, good. And just be present with the 13-year-old and allow the 13-year-old to express whatever she wants to express. And I want you to notice this, that because you are so strongly standing in this observer, what she sees is a guardian angel. What she sees is a fairy godmother. And she's like, wow. I didn't know that was possible. Does that feel true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So as you stand as this observer, she already gets some juice from it. Like, wow, this is cool. I'm really supported. There's someone here who is in true support of me. Does that feel true?
I can't tell what she's feeling.
Okay. So she's going to express to you what she's feeling then, okay? So that you can...
Okay.
You can. So she's going to tell you, first of all, what's going on, what happened with that memory. She's not going to tell you the story of it. She's going to just tell you what her feelings were, what emotions she expressed.
Okay.
What emotions didn't get expressed, I should say, that she can now express now to this fairy godmother that is you. So she's going to just start sharing some of what she's feeling, some of her emotions, and the rest of you, your little one, can do the same. So how is she expressing, what emotions are present and how is she expressing them with you?
She's feeling love right now.
Okay.
Insecurity?
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So is there any uncomfortable emotions that she wants to get off her chest?
She feels scared of somebody in particular.
Yep. That's okay.
And unsafe.
What's that, hon?
And unsafe.
Yes. Scared and unsafe. And of course she would feel scared and unsafe with them, right?
Of course.
That's appropriate. And we just say, of course you'd feel that way, sweetie. Of course you'd be scared. Of course you'd be unsafe. And we get to just let her feel scared and unsafe. We get to let her finally express that. Because honestly, when she was with that person, she was not allowed to feel scared and unsafe, was she? She certainly couldn't express that. Right?
No.
So in this moment, so she brilliantly repressed it. She brilliantly stuffed it. so that she could survive, so that her psyche could survive intact. She stuffed those emotions until this moment. So right now, we're just going to let her express those emotions.
Okay.
Good. And so how is she expressing them?
She's saying that she feels hurt and abandoned.
Yeah, of course she would.
Yeah.
Yes. Then we just say, you know, we get to say to her, I'm so sorry for what happened. We get to say to her, you get to tell her how much you care about her. The rest of you do the same with your little ones. That's it. And she gets, and we get to say, of course you'd feel that way, and that's appropriate, that's right. That's exactly what anyone would feel, and whatever you felt was perfect. And yet you weren't allowed to, so thank you for not for repressing it. Thank you for suppressing it so that we could survive. You get to thank her for helping you to survive. She helped the two of you survive. Is that true?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so now she gets to finally express it, and it's these are appropriate emotions to be feeling. It's exactly what should have been. And so now she's fine. There it is. There we go. We're moving into mm-hmm. beautiful unwinding now. So what's happening now with her?
She's feeling a release in her groin, physically.
Good. Very, very good. Excellent.
Even a pleasure.
Good. Beautiful. The energy is starting to really move. And now as she's really expressing this and noticing the transformation that's happening, as she's noticing
mm-hmm.
that, she may also notice that by finally expressing this emotion, that it's as if it's ignited this portal. And this portal is now drawing in and attracting in and allowing in, and it's like water pouring in, but it's love. It's love energy. It's just pouring in. Does that feel true to her?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And this beautiful love energy is just embracing her and loving her and acknowledging her and saying, yes, what you're feeling was real and appropriate. And it's also just absolutely loving, adoring, cherishing her. Does that feel true?
Yes.
And this love energy is moving into everyone now. And so this beautiful love energy, she realizes why it feels so good in part, not only because it's love, because it's actually her. This is her mm-hmm. as love. This is the love that kind of got suppressed a little bit when she suppressed the other emotions. This got suppressed mm-hmm. along with it. And now it's here. And now it's available. And now she is it. She's embraced by it. And it's moving through her. It's filling her. Nurturing her and nourishing her and honoring her and loving her. That's it right there. And what's that like for her?
She's feeling like strong.
Yeah.
And powerful.
Yeah. And allow her to just stand in that strength and power in this moment. Just remind her that she is, this is her, so she is this, and she gets to stand in it. That's it. And as she stands in her power, you can see that it's, you know, when I talk about the universe that is us and the universal law that is us, that it's changing the universal law, and that the fabric of her universe itself is kind of, yeah, it's rippling with this new energy of her power in love. Does that feel true?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And as she stands and witnesses the rippling of her whole universe changing, she notices that in this moment, anyone who enters her universe is now entering the universe of Jenna in power. Does that feel true?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so in this moment, when she's 13, she now wields this great power of love. And what it also means, her universe is changed. The fabric of a universe now is rippling with this love, and it also means that anyone who is not of this love has two choices now. They either can't even find her or see her. They can't find her or see her because the vibration is too great. Or they enter the field and must change. They, like your boyfriend, go and seek help.
Mm-hmm.
They must change, right? Does that feel true?
Yes.
So she feels herself in this power, knowing that, kind of like
mm-hmm.
Harry Potter, she has an invisibility spell with those who might do her harm who can't change. And those who can change enter her field, and she knows that just her being her in her grand power, and the rest of you hopefully are feeling the same, allows her to, she doesn't have to do anything. They just can't be in her field unless they change. Does that feel true?
Yeah.
Okay. And so as she stands here in this great power of her, she gets to tap, you get to ask her a question. You as the observer now, this guardian angel who has been there in tremendous support, gets to ask her a question. And you just say, around all of this, around the memory, around the emotions of being scared and unsafe and hurt and abandoned, around all of it, and around the transformation that just happened and her standing in her power right now, knowing that the vibrational universe has absolutely changed, around all of it, what is it that she needs now? And the rest of you do the mm-hmm. same. Ask the little one, what do you need around all of this? What does she need now?
And I'm feeling like a scepter and a crown and a robe, like
okay.
an empress.
Good. Okay, let's just make sure that was her that shared that with you. Okay, so you don't have to answer from your mind. You can just ask her to tell you. So is she on board with that scepter, crown, and robe thing? Is that hers?
No.
Yeah, ask her what she needs. What does she need? She's going to tell you. What does she need around all this right now? That's it. Now, you're a little bit in your mind right now, Jen, and it's okay. I want you to notice that.
Okay.
Notice that you're trying to figure something out that doesn't need figuring out. The mind cannot figure this stuff out because this is 100% the impulse of the soul. The soul knows.
Okay.
So you're just going to, first of all, thank your beautiful mind for so powerfully protecting you for so long. Just thank your mind. And allow your mind to stand beside the beautiful guardian angel that is you, witnessing and being present and witnessing. Okay? So just allow that to happen.
Okay.
That's it. Now, very good, very good. Now, the guardian angel and even your mind is present for this young 13-year-old Jenna who is standing in her power, this new power of light. Does that feel true?
Yes.
Good. And so now we are going to ask her to tell us, what is it that you need now around all of this? She's going to answer. Okay, Shmoke?
Okay.
What is she saying? There it is. Very good, Jenna. You're not in your mind anymore. Very, very good. Can you tell the difference?
Yeah.
Good. Good. So I kind of took you back into your mind by doing that. So just bring your energy back to this moment, back into your beautiful observer. Notice that the mind's beside you witnessing. That's it. Very good. Right there. Now, this is a really good exercise actually for you to tell the difference. Okay, good. Mm. So now as you're standing there as the observer, you're going to ask her again, show me what it is that you need now. Tell me what it is you need now. Let her answer. That's it. Very good. Let her answer. And just really allow your mind to be quiet. Allow the observer to be strong and let her answer. What is she saying that she needs now? Pretend that you can really be present for her so that she can answer. She can have anything she wants. She's got a little wand in her hand. around this power, newfound power that she has around all of it. What does she need now? It's okay for her to answer.
I don't know.
Well, just pretend that you do.
Okay.
And she's talking, right? She's answering. So just pretend that you can hear.
Mm-hmm.
What is she saying? Go ahead. Stand in your observer. Remember that you're the observer and that you're not in control of her.
Mm-hmm.
That she's in full control, in charge. She's in full command, I should say.
Okay.
She's in full command and you're just there observing, just receiving what it is she's saying. Your mind is there just witnessing. It's not intervening or interjecting any longer. And just listen to what she has to say. What does she have to say about what she needs now? No pressure here. Seriously, there isn't. She gets to share whatever it is that she needs now. What does she need now? What's going on, Jenna?
I can't tell.
Okay. So, does she need love? Does she need support? Does she need to play? Does she need to go play music? Does she need to write? What does she need? What does she need now?
I'm hearing like a boy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a boy that she likes.
Okay, good. Very good. Very
like
good.
A boy.
So she wants to be close to this boy. Good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Good. Very good. And so we're just going to ask her to show you. You know, she's in her power now. Does that feel true still?
Okay.
She's still standing in this power of this love energy that is changed the fabric of a universe. So it's changed. It's really changed. It can't go backwards.
Okay.
So what would it be like for her if she stands in this energy to start hanging out and being friends and maybe more with this boy? What would that be like?
Safe, fun, play.
Yeah, fun, play. That's it. Very good. Very good. Go ahead.
And I'm feeling sex, too. Like
so,
she's interested in finding out about sex.
Yeah, she's it may be, I'm going to put a word in her mouth and see what it feels like. It may be more about intimacy.
Okay.
And the innocence in that first blush of intimacy.
Okay.
Which is different than, sex is the word that happened to her. Intimacy and innocence is what she's about to experience as she stands in her renewed power. Does that feel true?
Yeah.
Now,
uh-huh.
I can, your mind is analyzing, so just allow your mind to just let go again and just stand beside you in witnessing.
Okay.
That's it. Very good. Very good. And that's it. That's it. And allow her to be. Allow her to consider this. You're the observer. She's doing this. Okay. You're observing. She's doing. You don't have to figure this out. It's all her. Does that feel true?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Okay. So she is wanting to play and discover and it's a natural, innocent process at 13 years old to be interested in boys. it's a natural, innocent process to want to explore, you know, whatever intimacy brings forward.
Mm.
It's a natural, intimate, innocent process. And that's all that's happening here. There's just her standing in her innocence, in her power, wanting to explore her as a burgeoning woman.
Mm-hmm.
With someone who's a burgeoning man. But they're not burgeoned. They're just playing. They're just dancing and discovering and being innocent in all that. Does that feel like that's what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I want you to notice that you've got some other evidence in your mind that that's not what sex is. That's not what intimacy is. And just notice it. It's understandable.
Okay.
That you've got this other kind of paradigm that says, no, And that's
uh-huh.
okay. And just take the paradigm, that paradigm, because you have evidence for that paradigm. I'm just going to put it aside now, for now. Just put
okay.
it aside and just allow her to be the innocent 13-year-old that is standing
okay.
in her power, that as she stands in her power and her universe has changed, knowing that the abuse that did happen can't happen any longer because if they only have two choices if they enter her field. They'll either leave or they'll change. Does that still feel true?
Okay. Yeah.
Did you ever hear me tell the story of Michael Tamura in the bank robbery?
Yeah, the robbery. Yeah.
Yep. So that's what I'm talking about here. She's standing in a different field from anyone else now, especially her abuser. So they
okay.
cannot do what they did before. You just can't. It's impossible. Just like the bank robbers could not see Michael Tamura. For those of you who are wondering what I'm talking about, Michael Tamura was in a bank. Bank robbers came in. He was standing. Bank robbers made everyone sit down. He went in that moment or lay down on the floor. He went in that moment into his pure love, bliss, power state as Jen is in right now. And in that moment, the bank robbers physically could not see him. It's all on videotape. The FBI freaked out and interrogated him for hours because they assumed he was among them because he didn't get on the floor. He stood among them,
uh-huh.
and they couldn't see him. So this is the same thing that's happening right now for you, Jenna, and hopefully for the rest of you, too, is that your little one is now standing in their power, knowing that in their power, them being them is all that's needed. And that it's physically changed their vibrational universe to one of power. And now anyone that is, and again, remember, whoever enters our universe has no choice but to respond to the universal law that is pushing them, impinging upon them to honor the universal law. And in your instance right now with this Jenna at 13, her universal law is, you must be love or get out or change. Right? So if she
okay.
stands in that energy. And really remembers energy. Again, we've had another transformation each time she remembers. And she moves from that energy, knowing that the abuse is stopped and she can move back into this beautiful innocence. And we take the old abuse and we just put it aside and for her to stand fully in her innocence. And from that place, she can now experiment and play and have fun with the boy. As the two of you discover innocent from a place of innocence, what intimacy can be from a place of innocence and purity and love. What is that like for her? There it is. Very, very nice. What's that like for her, Jenna?
Playful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not sex, is it?
It's sexual.
Yes.
But
it's
not
sensual.
Sex.
Yeah, it's sensual.
Yeah.
It's new. It's innocent. It's lovely. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. And describe to me, have Jenna tell you what that's like.
It's warm. Fun.
Yeah. warm, fun.
Happy.
Excellent. Happy. Excellent. Excellent. So take a breath into that fun and warmth and happiness. And as you exhale, feel that warmth and happiness flowing through Jenna's body right now. You, the you that you are right now, feel it flowing through your whole body. That's it. Ah, beautiful. Okay, so stand now in your current body with this understanding that you have changed your vibrational field. And that there's love and power in your field. What's that like?
I feel strong and confident.
Yeah, good.
Purposeful.
Now, excellent. Now, from this place, I want you to look at your boyfriend. Does it look different?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. There's no need to
him.
Poke the bowl.
I don't know him. I don't know him.
What does that mean?
It means I haven't met him this way.
Yes, that's correct.
Yet.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful, Meta. Really, really, really good. Really good. And know that from this place, you've had evidence that just like you, he's been on his journey. Just like you, he's had things that appeared to take the innocence away. But again, as you've already felt, the innocence can't be taken away. It can be recovered. It can be reignited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that he's just on his journey. But the real cool thing about your boyfriend is that if he does something that is not okay, he'll take responsibility. And that's enormous.
Okay.
That's enormous.
Yeah.
And the minute
That's
he stops doing that is when you can leave him with confidence. But
okay.
I suspect he won't do that. It feels like you've got a good one there. Just like you, he has his challenges based on what happened to him, as everyone on this planet does.
Yeah.
You know, you break up with him, you'll just meet another one. Because there's not a soul on this planet that everyone who came down to this planet came down here to play with a journey that they wanted to work out. And so we're going to keep bumping into everyone who wants to work something out with us. And that's what this guy is for you, is to for the both of you to support each other in working out this piece. And when you work it out, you might leave each other or you might be way closer. And get closer and closer and closer. And you may not. And it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But all that matters is that, part of what you brought here today is from him. And it brought forward this moment of you standing in your power. Remembering your power. Remembering who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so from this day forward, the old issues of safety will likely not go away because it's been a habit for a long time. So the opportunity, Jenna, is for you to now use those moments instead to move back into this place of power. Okay, so if the issue of safety shows up again and upset and I'm not safe, then instead you just take a moment right now, in that moment, and you just say, hang on a second, I'm going to breathe, and I'm going to know that this moment of me feeling not safe is just my mind in an old pattern. It's the old neural pathway. And what if that old neural pathway is showing up so that I can use it as a point of resistance to remember my power, to move into my power? Does that make sense?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So now it's a point of access instead of point of spiraling down until the world isn't safe. Now it's a point of, oh my gosh, there's that belief that isn't true, that the world isn't safe, and I'm going to use it to remember my power, to remember that I am the point of safety because my mind is the most creative force on the universe. And when my mind feels safe, I can create amazing safety everywhere around me. Got it?
Yes.
Beautiful. Well done, Jenna.
I think so. Thank you.
Well done. Well done. Really, really good. That was awesome. So I'm going to move on to the
next person,
if that's okay with you.
Yes. That's fine.
Okay, cool. So before I do that, I actually have to have a bio break. So I'm going to play a little music right now. And for those of you who don't have to take a bio break, then you can listen to the music and just allow the new power that you've just experienced to be these chants are my chants that I created a year or two or so ago. And they are infused with healing energy. So this is sound vibration in its purest form. So the sound vibration will support you in tightening the weave of the new pattern that you just established, okay? So listen to the music with that in mind, knowing that it is supporting you in tightening the weave of this new vibration of power that you just created for yourself. As I take a bio break, or you can also take a bio break. Okay, so I'll be right back. Listen to this beautiful song and allow it to support you. Awesome. Thank you, folks. Really, really good job. Okay, we're moving to Star Tool. Raise your hand, obviously, if you'd like to work with me today. We're moving on to, looks like San Jose, last four digits are 6577, 6577, and you're on the air. You might have your device muted out. Might be Adrian or someone. Okay, so if you're listening on the webcast while you're also dialed in, there's a 7-second delay. So don't do that. 7 seconds is actually 17 seconds is actually quite a long time. Okay, so I'm going to move on, they might hear this and get back, so I'll try and get back to them. Betsy. Hey, honey.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So when you were talking to Jasmine, I thought the gap stuff was phenomenal. And when you were talking about the mama bird pushing their little birds out of the nest, I got kind of emotional. My mom passed away almost three years ago, and we were best friends. And she was my heart. And even as I said that, because I've said that a lot, I thought, oh, she was my heart. Maybe I've given her my heart. But pushing me out of the nest, I thought, not that it's all about me, but I almost felt like she died so that I could get to the next phase of my life.
I feel the same way about my sister. Yeah, and I want to clarify something, Betsy. You can keep going, but I just want to clarify one little thing, which is, did she have your heart? No. However, I feel the same way about my sister. My sister had a much bigger heart. I know in hindsight now, was way more spiritual than I ever could be, and she never took a freaking course. She was extremely kind. And so when she passed, was I not kind? No, but she was authentically kind versus my kindness sometimes had a hook. And so after she passed, it's an interesting thing that you say she had my heart. She didn't have your heart, but she actually, has given you part of her heart now in her passing.
Yeah.
My sister has given me part of her kindness in passing that they couldn't do when they were here. So there's some truth to it, but it's a deeper truth, which is basically my attunements, you know, they open something that is dormant. When your mom passed, when my sister passed, they opened something in us that was a little bit dormant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So. And the gap, I've been engaged twice, but I haven't followed through it. And mm-hmm. You were saying Jasmine's about 3/4 through, and I thought, I feel like I have a permanent residence here.
When it comes to relationship, you mean?
Yeah, and like the gap, and you know, I've had success in other parts of my life, and I have dear friends.
Yeah,
and, but
I said, Betsy, you and I are a lot alike. You're like, and I are a lot alike.
My birthday is May 15th.
Oh, for God's sake, is that right?
Isn't yours the 15th or the 16th?
Mine's the 14th.
The 14th, okay. Because on the astrology thing, I was like, she never answered the question about, well, what if your birthday's then?
Yeah, what year?
62.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. We're a day apart, same year.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so no wonder there's a kinship I'm feeling, because a lot of what you shared is a lot of what I go through today to day. So, the thing that the mind can do is it can take a concept like the gap, and it can spin it around so that it's not so much fun. How long am I going to be in the gap? The mind says in its moment of dysfunction. Versus using it to say, wow, I'm in the gap. That means that there's a process here, right? Our minds are amazing, aren't they? They're amazing.
Yes. Yes.
So you know, I am practically a virgin if you don't count relatives, right? That's going to be the title of my new book. So really, truly, I have not had many intimate relationships for someone who's, you know, 50, 55, going on 56. I'm extremely naive when it comes to that even. extremely naive when it comes to relationships. And I've come to the point where I don't think I'm in the gap when it comes to relationships. I don't think I think that I'm just on a journey, and that if a relationship's going to happen, if an intimate relationship is going to happen in my lifetime, it will happen. And if it's not supposed to, it won't. And it doesn't feel like a gap thing to me anymore. So, again, you can see how our mind puts a label on something so that they can point at it and say there's something wrong here. But that's all that happens. Every single label that we attach to something, every single label that we put on something that say, well, it must be this then, is a label that we've attached to something to say it's wrong so that we can just be distracted away from it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about relationships, are you really in the gap, or are you just on this soul's journey and that you'll do it when you do it and you won't when you won't? What's that feel like?
It feels closer what you just said, but the societal upbringing is, you know, you're not complete until you get married and have kids and...
That's just a bunch of beliefs, and you're right. And I love that. You really see it, Betsy. You see way more than you give yourself credit for. That statement was powerful, because when you can see it, you are no longer at the effect of it. You are no longer pressured by it. I don't give a shit what society thinks about me, right? I think about my high school gym teacher, my high school principal. Amazing. I loved her. We were really close. I really loved her. And she never got married and never had children. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I am so comfortable leaving this planet without ever having an intimate relationship, if that's what my soul has intended. I am so okay with that. Right? And I never hear anyone saying, what? You're not married? What? Have you ever been engaged? What? No kids? What? I don't get that, ever. No one says that stuff to me, because my universal law says that it doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter. Anyone who enters my universe doesn't give a shit if I'm married or not, or have kids or not, because that's not one of my universal laws. It does not matter. Will I have an intimate relationship?
That's not in your definition of success.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and even that, a definition of success, that's a label.
Right.
Right? What if success, really true success, is just actually being us? Just being us. You know, when I mentioned earlier about wanting to reach 1 billion people, and when I said it, I didn't realize it because it was deep in my unconscious, but when I said it, it was for ego reasons. But, you know, the ego sometimes is also getting a glimmer of something else, and until we are healthy enough, the ego is the first one to take the step. Ego is important. Ego is important. Mm-hmm. Ego is not something to get rid of. The mind is not something to get rid of. It's important. So part of my soul had to work through my ego to create that intention, which is to reach 1 billion people. And whether I reach 1 billion people now or not, I don't care. It does not matter, even in the slightest iota. I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to get, you know, there's 10 people here today. I'm going to work with the 10 people. You know, it doesn't matter. Because the people that are here in today's Healathon, you guys are here for a reason, and you're here because you're likely going to create some powerful waves on the planet. And that's good. It's good enough. And so I trust my soul's journey, 100%. And when we have loss in our life, like you have, we often either go one way or the other, and you're likely someone who went with, I trust my soul's journey, I trust my mom's decisions, I trust my sister's soul decisions that had her leave. And so when we stand in that place, we can look at success as simply, we can compress words, and we can say, success is love in action, period. Success is me standing where I'm standing. That's success, right? And we can look at the cultural norms, the cultural beliefs of what success is, and say, fascinating, isn't that interesting? Not me. Not me. Right? What would that be like if we could do that? We could stand in the center of the hurricane of beliefs, cultural beliefs that are surrounding us. And we can stand in the center and say, not me. And it's the opposite of me too, right? Not me.
Yeah. Right.
That's not me. That's
I feel that. I think I'm
I know
a
you do.
Pretty good with that.
I know you
the
do.
The thing that gets me sometimes is I'm not a loner, and I'm doing a really good job of not being with people who don't serve me and vice versa.
Yep.
But there's a certain degree of loneliness. Like, I don't think I'm meant to be alone the rest of my life. And so I want somebody really cool to play with.
Yeah, that's great. So my best friend, Mary, is my roommate now. Let me tell you a story about that. So my mom is awesome. I love her deeply, and she's, you know, a little bit, she's borderline personality disorder, very narcissistic, and yet I have a great relationship with her now because my universe states that none of the universal laws impact me, so we have a great relationship, despite the fact that she's all those things. And those things actually don't matter. Those labels don't even matter anyway. So I share with my mom that Mary, my best friend, is moving in. And she said, in her brilliance, oh, my God, are you finally coming out of the closet?
I knew it. I knew it.
And I said, Mom, I am not gay. I've been telling you for years, I am not gay. I said, you know, I haven't had intimacy because of what happened with the sexual abuse stuff, which I recently came out to her. I came out to my parents. I finally addressed it with them a couple months after my sister passed. And I said, I am not gay. And she says, oh, well, why would you move in with a woman? And I'm like, okay, just imagine this. Her best friend is my Aunt Edie. I would say, just imagine that Uncle Jack has left and, you know, Dad's gone now. And you and Aunt Edie decide to get a house and live together. I said, what would that be like? She goes, oh, my God, that would be so much fun. I said, that's what I'm doing. I'm moving with my best friend. It's a blast. It's so fun. So, you know, I'm just bringing that up because it doesn't have to be a man, although it could be. I'm just saying that we have these limitations. I love my life. I have so much fun. Mary and I laugh every single day, and we are not interested in the intimacy at all with each other. It's just, you know, both of us are heterosexual women. We're not interested in that. And yet, we have the most beautiful friendship. We have so much fun. I am not alone. And I thought about it, and I'm like, I was at an event recently where a lot of us were older. Most of the people were 10 to 15 years older than me, and they were in relationships, marriages, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, and, well, probably 30, 40 years. And they were talking about their relationship, and I'm like, my God, I have a better relationship with my best friend who lives with me. These people aren't intimate anymore.
Right.
And some of them are.
Well, that's my mom and I have.
Right. So some of us are in a relationship with our best friends now, and the intimacy has changed dramatically. And that's what I have with Mary. You know, it's different because of that, but I thought about it. I thought about it. It's like, you know, every so often it comes into my thinking, well, I'd like to have sex before I die. And it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because, you know, maybe that's not what this life is about. Obviously, I would have had it. If it was meant to be, that's what I would have. And that's just not been my life's journey, and it doesn't matter. Okay, so from there, we now free up the field because we've been pointing at things that it should be this way, it should be, am I stuck, am I creating obstacles? No, let's have a different conversation. Let's take all that aside. That's the old spiritual conversation that is not relevant any longer. It was relevant until it wasn't. It got the old spiritual conversation of examining, well, why am I like this? Why did I do that? Why is it? Why am I stuck? Why am I self-sabotaging? All that stuff is bullshit. It's over. We don't have to talk that way anymore. Done. Finished. put to the side. And instead, we stand in us, where we're at right now, knowing that we're exactly where we're supposed to be. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Does that feel true?
Yes.
You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So we're exactly where we're supposed to be. There is no obstacle. There is no stuck. There is no self-sabotage. None of that is real. That's just labels we put on something to distract ourselves away from it. We put a label on it and say, I'm self-sabotaging, therefore we don't have to look at it. We have to play with it. We don't have to do anything with it. But it's in front of us for a reason. Okay? So here we are, standing in our brilliance, standing in exactly where we're supposed to be, and we notice the thought that, well, I should be in an intimate relationship, and we use it now instead of saying, I should be. We use it. We use the thought that comes up in that moment to explore. Okay? We use the moment, the thought of, your thought was, I'm alone, and I shouldn't be alone. And we use that instead of saying that's a statement, which you've just claimed. And you know what happens when we claim something? Our mind is the most powerful manifester in the universe. So when we claim, I am alone, the universe says, okay, perfect, gotcha. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? So the mind makes those claims only when the heart isn't involved, that the impulse of the I impulse of the universe, of the soul, is not in partnership with the mind that is quiet, that hears the impulses and then takes a divine inspired action from those impulses, right? So in those moments, it's a wonderful experiment to just witness the mind saying, here's a cultural belief that I am tapping into because it's uncomfortable for me right now. Here's a belief that says I'm alone and it's not okay. And that's a good thing. We get to now notice the belief and say, ah, here's where I can use this as a point of access now. So let's use that as a point of access, shall we, the alone piece. Is that okay, Betsy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. So you've experienced sexual abuse of some kind?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not sure if Cheryl's still here. It doesn't look like she's still here.
No, she had to go leave.
Okay, good. So just know that this is for her, too. This session is for her, too. Okay. So those of us who have experienced sexual abuse have a crazy and wild, amazing set of coping mechanisms to keep us safe. Okay, so just knowing that. And one of yours and mine is this notion of being alone is much, much frickin' safer, right? Do you get that?
Yes.
So much easier, so much safer is the belief. At least that's what it is for me. What is it for you?
I agree, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's just so much freaking easier dealing with people's stupid bullshit stuff, right? That's my mind.
Yeah.
That's my mind lying to me. That statement is what my mind says, and it is actually my mind lying to me. My mind in that moment lied to me that people are stupid and bullshit. It's all bullshit, right? You see this? This is my mind in creative mode.
Yeah.
My mind is creating? People who are stupid and bullshit. that's what I'm creating. That's what my universe is vibrating with. Now, my whole universe isn't vibrating to that because I've done, you know, so much spontaneous transformation around these beliefs. But, you know, that's a belief. And so we get to say,
and mine really is just around men.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So actually mine is for everyone, but it is more focused on men. Okay, good. So first of all, let's just acknowledge that there is that part of you that has really good reason for having that belief. Let's just acknowledge that. There's a part of you that has a really good reason to believe that, don't they?
Yes.
So we get to say, well, of course that you'd believe that to that part of us. Well, of course you would. And we kind of stand in our observer and observe that part of us. Of course you would believe that. What else could they believe? That belief has kept them safe. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's much better to be alone than be with a man. A lot safer.
Much safer, yep.
Much safer, right? So you can feel that. It's like, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I can sink into that comfortable chair And then when we awaken from the fact that this is a belief, we look at the chair that we've sunk into and realize that it's gross. We've sunk into this chair for decades, and it's like this chair has holes. I never noticed before. It has holes in it. It's kind of smelly. Right? It's a belief
dried
that kept
food.
Us safe. But, right? It's got dried food on it. Ew! So we just honor the part of us that needed the old smelly chair. Yes, of course you did. So how old is this little one that we're talking to right now?
Six
years old. Okay, so for the rest of you, just tap into that little one, and it doesn't matter if you know the age or not, but that's good. So Betsy, just stand in front of this beautiful six-year-old as the observer. Embody the observer. Embody this guardian angel, archetypal Mary Mother energy. Archetypal Mother energy feels good, if that feels right for you. Or fairy godmother, whatever it is. So just, what's it feel like, first of all, to be that observer?
Well, I feel safe but connected.
Good. Very good. It's a great thing. Okay, so bring your attention to that little six-year-old as the observer, and really stand in your observer as you're present with her. And what's happening here, and I'm going to explain this, what's happening when you stand in the observer in front of your little ones, is that the little one gets to feel that, first of all, there's an adult that's healthy in the room, and secondly, because you're detached, they get to just be themselves, that there's no pressure for them to be anything other than themselves when we are detached as the observer. So just make yourself known to the little one and say to her that you're here and you're present for her and you're not leaving her. You're not going anywhere. You're here to really be present and acknowledge and honor her, and you're not leaving her.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And so you're now just going to be present with and just ask her around, you know, all this stuff about it's much easier to be alone than with a man. What are the emotions that are underneath that? What are the emotions? And for whatever it is for the rest of you, might be this topic.
I so want to be noticed and loved and approved of and feel like an equal member of the family.
Right.
Instead of having my older brothers be seemingly more important and more included.
Good, good.
And I, as a
and
girl,
so,
is less than.
Good. And so what is the emotion? None of those are emotions. So what's the emotion? What's the upsetting emotion that's be underneath that?
Resentful,
I can hear what
ticked
you,
off. It's not
resentful,
fair.
Resentful, ticked off. Yep, good. Resentful.
I want some of that.
Yep, ticked off, unfair. Okay, so that resentful, ticked off energy, that is absolutely appropriate, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's an appropriate emotion. Is that true?
Yes.
And likely an emotion that she wasn't really able to express. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't safe for her to express those emotions. So clever little Betsy decided to suppress those emotions, that ticked off, resentful emotion. She did that. She suppressed it, and that was really smart because that helped her to get through all this, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of hid them behind those little, remember the walnuts I talk about in these programs?
Yeah.
So she hid all these, this resentfulness and this ticked off, this anger she hid behind walnuts. And those walnuts protected her from it, from those emotions, because those emotions could have broken her. Because the situation wasn't changing, right? Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. So in this moment, she gets to crack open those walnuts and feel the full throttle resentment and anger. And remember, you're the observer and she's the one that's feeling. Okay, you're observing, she's feeling. So let her crack open those walnuts and feel. How is she expressing those emotions?
She's really ticked off and she swam at them, which were words she didn't even know at the time, but she does somehow now.
Yeah, good.
And
good.
They're unfair.
And she doesn't,
you know,
yeah,
all sorts of expletives, and you guys are awful, and you suck, and, you know.
Yeah, and it's good for her to be yelling at them. That's okay, but I want her to just feel. So it doesn't have to be directed unless she really wants
left,
it to.
I feel left out.
Yeah.
I want someone to play with, and they won't play with me.
And that's what she's saying. And remember, you're the observer. She's feeling good.
Yeah, she just wants to be included.
Yeah, so she gets to really raise a stink that wasn't fair, that she wasn't. That wasn't fair. That wasn't okay. And she gets to express it fully. There we go. She gets to have a little temper tantrum. She gets to yell and scream if she wants. She gets to swear if she wants. That's it right there. That's it. And how is she doing?
She's kind of run out of gas. She's just kind of sitting there looking at me.
Good. That's good. We want to do it until we want the little ones to do it until they're pretty much exhausted. So that's perfect. Okay. So as she was doing that, she may have noticed, she may not have, that she ignited this beautiful portal, and this beautiful energy of love has moved in and is continuing to move in. And this is really pure, pure energy of really blessed, sweet, powerful love. Does that feel true? That love is moving in?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's acknowledging her. It's telling her, yeah, those emotions are true and real. It's loving her and honoring her. It's adoring her and cherishing her. It just loves her. Does that feel true?
Yes.
Beautiful. And just allow yourself to feel that love. Let her just marinate in that love. And I want her to notice that the love, that first of all, we don't need her to change. She can be angry forever if she wants, truly. It's okay. It's okay. She has really good reason to be as angry as she was, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're not asking her to change, but we want her to notice that this love that is here is getting bigger and bigger, and it's not diluting, but it's making less significant in the face of this huge amount of love, the energy of anger. Is that true?
Yeah, I feel like it's so consumed my attention in a good way that I can't remember what I was mad about.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So now, and the love, this love that is here, it's actually her. It's the love that got kind of held back. It's the love that when you cracked open the walnuts, it was in the middle. And so she's standing now in this energy of the truth of who she is. Does that feel true?
Yes.
And as she stands in this great, powerful love, that's it. It's beautiful. There's a beautiful unwinding happening now. That's it. As she stands in this great and powerful love, she starts to really realize that she is this love. She's always been this love, but she didn't know how to find it again after it had to be suppressed. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And so she is this love. And so now she stands in the power of this energy of love. And as she stands in the power of this energy of love, what is it that she needs now? What does she need now around all of this, around the loneliness, around what happened with her brothers and the transformation that just happened, a big transformation that just happened where she cracked it open and allowed the love that she is to be experienced and felt and part of her again, and now she stands in the great power of her love around all of it. What does she need now? What does she need now?
She still wants somebody to share it with and play with, but it's in a different way.
That's right. That's right.
I want to go share this really cool thing.
That's right. That's right. And there's an innocence within that. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's an innocent wanting to share and play and have fun.
Hey, who wants this? Who wants some of this? Who wants some?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's very different than needing or succumbing to societal mores, isn't it?
Yes.
That's just you in your authentic, playful self. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so now, as you stand there, I want you to, and the rest of you do the same, as you stand in your power right now, I want you to actually see, however you see. Some of you might sense, some of you might smell, some of you might hear, some of you might do all the clairs, clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient. Whatever it is that you do, I want you to stand in your power and watch what happens in the ripples that go out into the universe. Just pretend that you can see the mechanisms now of how this vibrational energy that you are standing in now, this vibrational energy that your mind is embracing. Is that true? Your mind is still. Is that true in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And your mind, your heart is open. Is that true?
Yes.
And your mind and your heart are open in this beautiful new dance together. Does that feel true?
Yes, and I feel kind of like the opposite of the bank robber story. I feel now that I'm visible to people I would want to be seeing me.
Yes, that's true. What a great insight. What a great insight. Oh, my God, that's awesome. That is so true. I'd never seen it that way before. Absolutely freaking true. Thank you, Betsy. That was beautiful. And so as you stand there, and you can see that rippling out into the universe is like breadcrumbs, and the pheromones, this is literal, the pheromones you are giving off are different. Does that feel true?
Yes.
It's an innocence, playful pheromone. Yes? So guess what's that, what that's going to attract? That's going to attract and someone who wants to hang out with innocent and playful and fun. Right?
Yes.
And so can you see the breadcrumbs that you're throwing, the breadcrumbs of this vibrational frequency that your universe is humming at, is throwing out, the ripples it's moving into the universe attracting? Does that feel true?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
What were we talking about before again? What was that again? You got
thank
it?
Thank you, Jennifer. Yes, I
you're
do.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you, because that was really helpful for me, too. That was really
good.
Helpful for me, too, my kindred sister.
Yes.
Beautiful. So, and tell Cheryl that that was for her, too, okay?
I will.
Okay. Thanks, love. I'm going to move my attention on, if that's okay.
Okay.
Thanks, honey. Okay, I'm going to go back here to California. Last 4 digits are 6577. Are you there now?
Ooh.
Hey.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can, yes. Who's that?
This is Adriana.
Hey, Adriana. How can I help you?
Ooh. Good question. I've been thinking about all the different issues I have.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, I don't know if this is a good one to use or not. There's my partner and I have too much stuff, and we're trying to deal with that, and it's just being forever and frustrating. And
so who has too much stuff, you or your partner, or both?
What?
Who has too much stuff? Is it you or your partner or both?
We both have too much stuff. Mm-hmm. He has way more too much stuff. And
that's kind of what I was thinking.
More trouble dealing with his stuff than I do with mine.
Yes.
Although I certainly need to get rid of more stuff myself.
Yeah. Okay, that's really good. So he is definitely the problem here. And you're trying to be honorable in saying, you know, I have stuff too.
Oh, I do.
Yes, I know that you're being honorable in that. And I want you to know that this is all your mind. So our perception that we have too much stuff is in our mind. The perception that he has way, way too much stuff is in your mind. And And it might be true and it might not be. It might be true and it might not be. So most of the time, if we have too much stuff, it's because we need to hang on to it to build bulk. And, you know, people who have been abused build bulk in various, various different ways, and the bulk creates protection. We build bulk in weight, you know, gaining weight and holding on to weight. We gain bulk in clutter and hoarding. We build bulk in the kind of people we surround ourselves with. If we attract a certain kind of person that may not be healthy for us, but we build bulk that way too. Because if we surround ourselves with like energy that matches our bulk, it is the same idea. We build bulk through addiction. Through smoking or drinking or whatever. That's also a bulk building thing that allows us to, all of them allow us to escape somehow. And they're all understandable. They're all understandable. I would even go so far as to say they are okay until they're not. Okay? They're okay until they're not. So there's, first of all, let's just allow ourselves a little compassion and just say it was needed. That you needed your stuff and he needed his stuff until you don't. How does that feel?
A bit lighter.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's still a mind in there that says it's bad and it's wrong. And understandably so. So what if it wasn't ever bad or wrong? It's just what is. It's just what was needed until it wasn't. What would that be like? And I can feel, okay, let me see if I'm, what I'm tapping into here. I can feel that it's harder for you to see that for your partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if it is until it isn't, then you're not in command and it's going to be like this forever. Is kind of what I'm hearing. Is that true or no? Did I miss that one?
It sure feels that way. I mean, we've both been working on it, but it's nowhere near it needs to be. Mm-hmm.
So you're working on it harder than he is. And because he's who he is and you're not in charge of him, that will always be this way.
Right.
Is that the belief?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's understandable. And it's actually not true. So if the notion that your mind is the powerful creator that it is, and if your mind, no matter what, continues to go down the road of, I'm not in charge of him, I can change, but he won't, and therefore I'll have to live in all his stuff forever. Can you see how your mind and your universe is creating a field that supports him to keep his stuff?
Right, yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
Look how powerful you are. Okay. So we're going to do a little Ho'oponopono here.
Hmm.
And we're going to start there. And, of course, my version of Ho'oponopono, which is the spontaneous transformation technique version of overlaid the Ho'oponopono prayer. My friend did another version of Ho'oponopono with me that was really cool. I might bring it forward, too. Okay, so think about someone in your life who has to change in order for you to be happy. Did you hear what I just said? That is a setup for failure, for unhappiness. If someone else in your life must change in order for you to be happy, you're in for a world of hurt. You got that, Adriana? I know you know that, but I just want to see if it pinged a little deeper.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So if your happiness is dependent on your partner cleaning up his mess, then you just completely handed your power over to him. So, do you get that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So just think about the person in your life and how they're upsetting you. And think about what they're doing to you, what they've done to you. And, you know, it's good to work with someone who's recent. What did they do to you? And think about it. What they're doing to you. Good. And so now we're going to just turn that around, and it's like we're looking in a mirror, and when have we done something similar? Excuse me. When have we done something similar? And the doing part, some of you may be saying, I've never done anything like that. That may be true. But when have you ever had a thought about it? And the thought, as we know, is extremely powerful. Thought is extremely powerful. So consider, when have you had a thought, said a word or a deed that is similar to what they did to you? And think about that. And this Ho'oponopono is a prayer about self-forgiveness. That's what it is. And so we think about the person as we say the prayer. So we consider them as we say the prayer. Because what they really are is a catalyst for us to forgive ourselves. So think about the person, but we're going to say the prayer to ourselves, and we're going to look at the little one that is us. And we're going to look at the little one that us that created the coping mechanisms and created the thoughts and beliefs that allowed us to have the thoughts that were similar to what happened to us. And we look at the little one and we just say, I'm so sorry for what happened. I'm so sorry for what happened to you. I'm so sorry for the things that happened to you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what happened to you, little one. I'm so sorry for the coping mechanisms that you had to create in order to survive, that created this energy. So, Adriana, what in your case, what is the what is the thing the emotion that is upsetting to you that came out of this? So what is it that he's doing to you?
He's preventing the house from being a peaceful place.
So he's preventing peace.
He's preventing peace. He's preventing my grandchild from visiting.
And what emotion does that prevent? Happiness?
What?
What emotion is that stopping when your grandchild can't visit you?
It's stopping joy and happiness.
Yeah, that's right. Good. So what he's doing to you is he's stopping you from experiencing peace. He's stopping you from experiencing joy and happiness. Got it?
Right.
And so now we're going to take ownership of that and say, where in our life have we ever done that to someone else? Where in our life have we prevented someone else from having peace or joy or happiness? And even if it's by thoughts, even if it's by a thought, I mean, I can think of millions of times when I have caused a lack of peace, joy, and happiness for others. Can you think of something that you've maybe done by thought, word, or deed that has prevented peace, joy, and happiness for another?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So that's yours. That's the part that's ready to be loved and honored and healed. And so you move into the prayer, considering your partner, but also really focused on you, and say to the little one, I'm so sorry for what happened to you. You say, I'm so sorry for what happened to you that you had to prevent others from experiencing peace, joy, and happiness. I am so sorry for what happened to you that prevented that created coping mechanisms that you needed to experience in order to survive, but also prevented others from experiencing peace, joy, and happiness. I'm so sorry, little one, for what happened. I'm so sorry for the coping mechanisms that you had to express in order to survive. And I'm sorry for the whole thing. And then you say, please forgive me. And again, considering him but focused on you, please forgive me for those who I've hurt through thought, word, or deed by expressing these coping mechanisms. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for those who I've hurt through thought, word, or deed by expressing these coping mechanisms that prevented peace, joy, and happiness in the people that I impacted. Please, please forgive me for those who I may have hurt through thought, word, or deed by expressing these coping mechanisms. And then you turned to the little one and said, I'm so sorry for what happened. And you had every reason to use these coping mechanisms to survive, and I'm so sorry that you had to create them. Please forgive me for those who I've hurt through thought, word, or deed by expressing these coping mechanisms. And then say to yourself, please forgive me for forgetting that in those moments when I was a kid, those things happened and I created the coping mechanisms, I was innocent. Please forgive me for forgetting that I was innocent. Please forgive me for forgetting that I was innocent. Forgive me for forgetting that I was love, that I was always pure love, and I forgot in those moments of expressing those coping mechanisms where I may have hurt others. Please forgive me for those who I've hurt through thought, word, or deed. There we go. We've got a beautiful unwinding happening here. I'm turn to the little one again and say, I'm so sorry for what happened. I'm so sorry for what happened. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for those who I've hurt. And then we turn to ourselves, the little one in ourselves right now, and as if we're looking in a mirror and just say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you for your commitment to your healing that brought you to this very moment, to this call. I love you for all the things you've worked out. I love you for your strength and courage, for how you moved through your childhood. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you simply because I love you. Does that feel true, Adrienne, as you say that to yourself? I love you?
Not enough.
And what if it did? What if it did?
What if what
just
did?
Just pretend that you really could do that. Just pretend for a minute that you really could love yourself. Just pretend. What would that be like?
That would feel so much better.
Yeah. So just pretend with me and say it from that pretend place. I love you. Say it from that pretend place. Just tap into the possibility, potentiality of maybe what if I could feel that. And just feel it. And go back with that energy of love now and just say to the little one, I'm so sorry for what happened. And with that energy of love now, say to yourself, please forgive me. And those who you've hurt, just say, please forgive me. And say to yourself and the little one, forgive me for forgetting that I forgot my innocence. I forgot my love. Forgive me for forgetting. And just pretend in this moment that you can turn to yourself and say, I love you. I love you for your strength and courage. You can love the little one, right?
Right.
So that little one is you, so just love all of it. Just pretend. What would that be like if you could love yourself? Just pretend. That's it, right there. That's it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. There we go. What's that feel like now?
Very nice.
Yeah. And the final part of the prayer is thank you. And we turn to the person who was the catalyst for this, and we just, first of all, thank them for bringing us to this moment, because that's all they did. All they did was showed us what it was we were ready to forgive. That's it. So we turn to them and we say thank you for being the catalyst, for the teacher, to show me the part of me that was ready to be loved and honored and seen and forgiven. Thank you. We say to the little one, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your strength and courage to find these coping mechanisms that helped us to survive. You say to the people that you have hurt, thank you. Thank you for showing me this part to allow me to forgive myself for hurting you. Thank you. And you just thank the moment. Thank you, moment, for bringing me this moment of self-forgiveness and healing. Thank you. Thank you. For my life, thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for my favorite pen. Thank you for my beautiful pets. Thank you for my best friend. Thank you. Thank you. And you feel that gratitude in this energy of love growing warm in your body. And then we just go through the prayer a few more times, just holding the intention behind each part of it. I'm sorry what happened. Please forgive me. For those who I've hurt, I love you and thank you. and the gratitude and thank you. We just go through those intentions now as we say these words. I'm going to go through a couple of rounds of it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Feeling the intention each time we say the words. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. To yourself, I love you. Thank you. And you're saying this to yourself. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And now we turn to the person who was the catalyst, and we say to them, I'm sorry for what happened to you. I'm sorry when you were little, what happened to you that created the coping mechanisms that hurt me. I'm so sorry for what happened to you. And we say to them, please forgive me for not being able to see your life in those moments when I was feeling attacked, when you were expressing your coping mechanisms, and I forgot that you were love and innocent. Forgive me for not being able to see you. Forgive me for not being able to see your innocence. Forgive me for not being able to see that you're love. I'm sorry for what happened to you. Please forgive me for not being able to see your light in those moments that I was hurt. And then maybe we can say, I love you to them. And if we can't, that's okay. If that's not quite there yet, you can just say, you are loved. Because you know that everyone on this planet is loved always. They're just on a soul adventure. They're a beautiful soul having a human experience, and they are loved. So if you can say to them, I love you, do so. And as you say it to them, know that it's coming right back to you, because we're all part of this, we're all one. So as you say to them, I love you, you're saying it to yourself. And if you can't say I love you, just say you are loved and know that that's also true for you, that you are loved. So we say, I'm sorry for what happened to you, little one, to hit them. Please forgive me for not being able to see your light. In those moments I was hurt, and I love you. Or you are loved, you are so loved. And thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being the catalyst in my life. Thank you. And we say to them, directly looking at them, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. That's it. Adriana, what does that feel like?
Wonderful.
Good.
Very peaceful.
Yeah. And so when you think about him and his stuff now, what does it feel like?
It feels like I'd like it to all float away.
Yeah, so I want you to see that you that there's a tango happening here.
Right.
And that the two of you, just like I shared, I'm not sure how long have you been on. Yeah, you've been on the whole time. That at the beginning of the show I talked about I was having a difficult time with several people earlier this week, and that I recognized clearly that it was just two souls crashing into each other for a reason, right? And so, so there's a reason here. And when we want it all to float away, we've left our body and we've left the situation and we are now distracted out of it. So we came into this body for a reason. We are not here to ascend in the way that we think we are. Because ascension for many people in the spiritual realm is to escape. And that's not what we're here to do. We came here. We bought the freaking ticket. We won the lottery to get here. And, you know, this idea of wanting it all to go away is fine. It's okay. It's understandable. I get it. I've been there so many times. I just want that all that stuff to be over. And yet, it's here for us, as we just experienced. This experience, expression with your partner in that moment, was something that was ready to be forgiven within you, that you healed, that you needed to heal. So we're a bunch of souls crashing into each other, showing each other what we're ready to heal, showing each other what new vibrational frequency we are ready to embrace. It wouldn't be happening if we weren't ready. It's even more than it's, you know, that old saying, it's God doesn't give you any more than you can handle. I think it's way more than that. I think God gives you exactly what you're ready for. What that means is what you're ready to heal, unwind, move through, get through into this new pathway, into the next step and the next step and the next step. So it's just our mind, understandably so, I get it, because it's tiring sometimes, exhausting sometimes, right? Where we just want it to all float away. But that's not the point of being on this planet. The point is not to float away. The point is to dive in, dig in, and play with the grand experiments that we've set up for ourselves. And you've got a lovely experiment here with too much stuff. And this Ho'oponopono you just did has created a new field of vibrancy in your field of being that has created an opening for the two of you to transform together. And that, will it all float away? It may. But really standing in front of it and saying, I don't require it to be floating away in order for me to be happy is the difference. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It does. If it doesn't have to all float away in order for me to be happy, I get to be happy right now that there's something in front of me that is showing me what I'm ready to play with next. That's actually the moment of happiness, not that it's going to be over. But, and again, what I'm saying, I can stand here right now and honestly say I'm not sure that I'm standing in my life and saying that. But that is a powerful moment that we can strive to be in, which is loving the moment and the and loving what is so much, because we know what is, what's here in front of us is here for us because we're ready. And when we stand in front of it in that willingness to play with the experiment that our own very soul has created for us to move through, to move in an evolution, that we don't require any of it to end and float away. Instead, we say, got it. This is here for me. I understand that what is before me is as it should be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. It would be something else. I stand before it in strength and courage, knowing that my soul wouldn't put it in front of me if it weren't what's next, if it weren't for my highest purpose. And I stand before it now in readiness, in a state of willingness. Marianne Williamson talked about willingness. I love Marianne Williamson. And she talked about willingness, which is one of the most powerful states of being. Because when you are willing, and sometimes in the prayer she said was, Dear God, I might not be able, but I'm willing. And that's what I'm talking about, is that energy of willingness creates a credible opening that allows answers to show up, allows resources to show up, allows us to see the divine supply that is there to show up for us. That's it. There's unwinding happening here right now. So, and it's okay that you want it to float away, but notice that and change it. Change it to standing in front of this, saying, wow, my soul has prepared this table for me. My soul has prepared this table for me, and I'm ready to eat. I'm ready to dig in. My soul has prepared this amazing experiment for me, and I'm ready to play in the experiment. What would that be like, Aunt Adriana? What would that be like? If you could stand before your life and this situation in particular, and just pretend with me for a minute that you can stand in front of it with this Ho'oponopono energy of self-forgiveness, with the energy of I love myself and I love him, and you stand in front of this situation and say, yeah, got it, I'm ready. What would that be like if you could do that? Are you still there?
Yeah. Oh, I might have floated away myself.
Okay, good, good. What would it be like if you could stand in front of your life as it is right now and know that you're ready and that it's here for you and it's a grand experiment? What would that be like?
That would be exciting.
Right? Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want you to know, this is like serious breakthrough territory, okay, Adriana? So you are standing in front of a mess and saying it's exciting. That's pretty cool. And I'm not saying it was it's a mess. It's actually what your mind previously labeled a mess is no longer that, is it? It's just what is. It's just what's next. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well done.
Would you have any suggestions for when I fall out of that and head towards the place of anger?
Yes. Yes, that's really good. So instead, in that moment of anger, you stop. You just stop. Take a breath and move back to this place. That's it. That's it. Because that moment of anger is actually a mechanical process that is here for you as well. Because we now have a new neural pathway that you've never had before. We've got this brand new neural pathway that you are standing in front of what previously was a mess, and you're now looking at it as simply what is and excited about it, right? You feel that, right?
Right.
Right, there you are. So you just went back to it because you went into the anger just for a minute, and you're back here. So you just did it. So in that moment, so tap into this moment again of standing in front of what was previously a mess, but now you know it's just simply what is, you're ready for it, and you're excited. Feel that. Breathe into it and take a nice deep breath into it, and the rest of you do the same. And then when you breathe out, allow it to expand within you so it's part of who you are. We just strengthened that neural pathway again. Does that feel true?
Yes.
Good. Now as you stand there, and if the anger shows up, you say, thank you, anger, because it's a point of resistance that is here for you to move back into this place of standing in front of your life at readiness, in willingness, and excited. Okay, so when you've heard me say this before, I'll say it again because you might be hearing it in a different way. We go to the gym and we push against weights, right, to strengthen our muscle. You might not. I haven't in a long time, but that's the idea. People go to the gym to push a weight so that they can strengthen the muscle. It's called resistance training, and that's often what life is when we're in this new mode. The old pattern shows up as a point of resistance to train and strengthen the new neural pathway. Right?
Right.
So that anger is now just a weight in a gym, like a weight that you'd use in a gym, that you can push against to grow this new neural pathway of I'm ready and I'm strong and I'm willing. Does that feel true?
Yes.
That's all it is. So, you know, people don't go into the gym and yell at the weight, why are you so heavy? Stop it. Right? We don't have to point at these things, these old patterns now, these old neural pathways anymore, because it's just a weight. It's just weight training. That's all it is. Just resistance training. That's it. Cool, huh?
Very cool. Thank
you. So You've now got a stake in the ground here, Adriana, that you can return to over and over and over again. I stand in front of my life, no matter what's showing up, in readiness and willingness, and I'm excited. There it is. There it is again. You just jumped right there. Did you feel that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do it really fast now because you've got a new neural pathway that's real, that's growing stronger with each time you play with it. Got it?
Got it.
Excellent. Well done, Adriana.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Okay, there's no one else with their hand up, so if you press star 2, you can raise your hand, or else we're going to finish this thing up. Whatever works for you. So star 2 will raise your hand, and if no one raises their hand, then I'm going to wrap this puppy up. Okay, so it looks like no one's raising their hand. So I'm going to open up all the lines and say goodbye. Just check in with you. How are you all doing?
Great.
Good. Excellent. Very well.
Good. Good, good, good.
Very helpful.
Looks like Christine raised her hand. Okay, hang on a sec. I'm going to put you all back into lecture mode. Okay, go ahead, Christine.
Are you sure, Jennifer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Okay, I'm not sure where to start. I'm the woman who lived in Hawaii, came home because my mom was sick, and then couldn't go back to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I lost everything in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. My friends, my stuff, my boyfriend, my life, everything. Mm-hmm. I ended up here, and then my mom died.
Mm-hmm.
So I even lost the reason I came home. So I ended up pretty stuck. And just a couple months ago, I started getting unstuck, and I'm trying to create a business. And everything keeps going wrong.
Okay, so I know you don't talk like this to everyone. I understand that, so I want to clear that right up right front. But your energy is so filled with this story.
Yeah.
Why? How could anything move forward when you keep telling this story of how you? I mean, and again, I understand that you don't say this story to everyone, but it is so in your field that you lost everything. That you lost everything, that you lost everything, that you lost everything, that you lost everything. It's just, so remember when I talk about what our mind believes creates the vibrational frequency of our universe, and your universe is filled with, I lost everything. So nothing can cling to that. Nothing can land on, I lost everything. You get that, right?
I get that, but I think hearing what you just said, it's telling me why the business is stuck, because I'm afraid
that's
I'm going to lose everything.
That's right. You got it, man. This is what's called waking up. And all we have to do is notice where our mind hums. Our mind hums on, and it's a drum. It's a freaking incessant drum, our beautiful minds. Now, your mind is, when our minds are in this incessant droning drum of an untruth, our mind is lying to us. Okay, so first of all, I also want to just have a little bit of compassion for you. I'm so sorry that happened, genuinely. I want you to feel my deep compassion. I'm so sorry for what happened with your mom, with what happened. I know that was huge. So I don't want to stand here and say anything other than I'm so sorry for what happened, okay? So knowing that, there we go, and let that sit in. I see that it was really, really horrifically hard. I get it. And I'm so sorry for what happened. Okay. And knowing that, I'm going to speak to the part of you that just like Adriana is standing, the part of you that can stand in front of your life and say, I'm ready and excited. I'm going to speak to that part of you. Okay, Christine. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that, there's a reason why, and you don't have to know what that is, but there is a reason why, and that you're here now, that nothing was actually lost because you're still here. Nothing was lost. There's just stuff that happened. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so what if that were true?
Mm-hmm.
What would that be like if that were true? What would that be like?
I guess I wouldn't feel. I wouldn't feel as unhappy and stressed as I did.
That's right. That's right.
I wouldn't be missing where I was.
That's right.
It's like I had my dream and I lost it. And waking up is unpleasant.
And what if that is just your mind telling you a story? What if the dream continues? It's just in a different form right now, and that's it.
That would be wonderful. Okay.
Right.
Now I
hear
you.
Good. So the vibration just completely changed. What does it feel like to be standing in the dream that's continuing? What does that feel like, if that were true?
It feels much more exciting.
That's right. Okay. So,
there's potential.
So what happens is that, you know, I talked about this right at the beginning. I would strongly recommend, I think you came in late, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so I want you to go back and listen to the beginning of this show because it's really going to help, okay? Because
okay.
I talked a lot about this at the beginning,
okay.
Right? And I'll just summarize here again. I just lost my track, so hang on a sec. Let me find what channel wants me to say to you. Okay. Okay, they really, really want you to listen. That's why they're not letting me have the information again. They want you to go back and listen, okay?
Okay.
Bottom line is that, okay, here's the little quote they're giving me that I've said before. Okay, this is weird. All right, I'm going to say it. Life is unfair.
Yeah,
for everyone.
I buy that.
For everyone.
Yeah.
There's not one person that life is fair for. Okay? We're going to flip that around now. Because that's what our mind thinks, is life is unfair. But I want you to know that it's unfair for everyone. Okay? So it's not just you. It's everyone, right?
Yeah.
Let's flip that around. Life is unfair because our mind says it's unfair. Our mind points at it and says, that's unfair. Okay?
So is it just pigeonholing? It's just a label?
It's just a label. You got it, sweetie. You got it. So let's just step out away from that. And let's step into our soul. Let's just pretend right now we're in our soul. We're in the infinite and the eternal energy. We're standing right inside of our soul in the infinite and the eternal energy. In the moment, in the absolute pure moment of the still point of now, we're in the still point of pure love. Just pretend that we're in our soul, right?
I'm there.
As we stand in our soul and look out of the eyes of our soul, there is no, all the stories of what we think should have happened, they just evaporate because there's just the journey. Right? And it's understandable. Like, I could sit here right now, right beside you, Christine, and look at my business and say, that's not how it was supposed to happen. I lost everything. I could say that. But I don't. Because I didn't. Because it's just an unfolding. And at the beginning, okay, they're giving it to me again. At the beginning, you know, I talked about and I talked about it again later, about the chair, right? The old comfortable shoe that has holes in it. But it's what we know, so we want it, we want it, we want it, and the universe is saying nope, that's not what is. It's the different pressures that we're being asked to move on, right? And so we resist and we resist it, and we say no, I know better. My mind knows better. My mind says I know better because I know what's safe. And the soul says that's not the plan, dude. That's not the plan. And so we resist and resist until we have to, the universe and our soul says, okay, it's done. And it goes away. Now, at any point of time in there, if we hadn't, it was going to go away anyway. If it's gone, it's because that's the soul's journey. And how do we know? Because it's gone. Just as we're standing where we're standing, here in front of our life. We are exactly where we're supposed to be. How do I know? Because we're here.
Okay.
Okay?
That's
so if that's true, now you're living in the past saying that wasn't supposed to be, arguing with your soul, arguing with the part of you that has the map, that knows the intentions of this life, that knows what's next. And so because you're in this void of arguing with what shouldn't have happened and have a big story around that, understandably so, I'm not judging that, it's understandable that you would. Of course you would. But now you've got this larger perspective that you're exploring in this moment with me, this beautiful vibrational energy of healing coming in as well for all of us, as we can look back and say, that's what was, and I'm still in my dream of what could be. It's just a different form now. And ironically, most of the time, the dream is honoring the intention of what we desire, which is always in alignment of the soul. What we desire is love and happiness and joy, peace and calm. And all the things that we think will give us that allows us to make new decisions, as you know, as Abraham Hicks calls it, launching new rockets of desire. But all of those desires, ultimately, what they have within them at the center of them is the feeling that we could actually feel now.
Okay.
Okay? So the things that happened If we're clinging to something that's already gone, we are creating a world of hurt for ourselves, because nothing that is new, that is joyful, can land in that vibrational universe, right?
Yeah, it lands, but it takes off right away.
It does. It's like landing on a spinning top. It can't. Yeah. There's no foothold there.
Yeah.
Okay? So let's, in this moment, all of us, move out of that story. Just step outside of it. Just step away from it and be in the observer energy. Okay? And observe that there's a really good reason why we wanted to cling to that. Of course you did. Of course I wanted to cling to my business. I had a huge business that generated a lot of income, and it was cool. And I thought I still needed that. But my soul knows that what I'm creating next is actually going to be even better for me. I know that. I know that I live in a benevolent universe. I know that I live in a benevolent universe. I know that even though what I had I thought was the best and I had arrived, no, that's not what my soul intended. And if it was what it intended, I'd still be there. I know there's a grander adventure afoot for me that's even better than what I had. And what if that were true for you, Christine? What if that were true?
It would be good.
What would that be like?
It would be good.
Right? Feel
it. Wonderful.
Allow yourself to stand in that. Breathe it in, and as you exhale it, allow it to expand even more. What if you're in this amazing adventure, and what's next is even better? What if that were true? And it's okay to notice the part of your mind that says, yeah, but I had it already and I lost it. It's okay to notice that and just say, I hear you, mind. I get that that's what you think. And I know that it's a lie because there's a really good reason why it needs to share that. I get it. But here's what's in front of me. I know that I'm still in the dream. I know that I'm creating something even better, even if it doesn't look that way. I know that I live in a benevolent universe. I know that my soul is not done with me yet. And how do I know? Because I'm here. How do I know? Because I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And how do I know that? Because I'm here. Does that feel true?
I guess I don't quite trust it.
Yeah, that's okay. Notice
I'd
that
like,
you don't trust
I'd
it
like
and just pretend that you do.
Okay.
What would it be like if you trusted it? What it would be like? Just tap into that. What would that be like?
Freedom.
Right. So feel the freedom. Feel the freedom. So you remember what I said just a minute ago, that what we're seeking in the things of life that will provide us with the feelings are present here right now. And if we move into the feeling of it now, then we are it. And then whatever we want, then we'll attract more of the same. Okay. So,
okay.
I don't trust my life is creating a life that is not trustworthy. Right?
Right.
And that's
yeah.
okay. And that's understandable. It's okay. Now, move into the energy of what if you did trust your life? What would that be like? Just pretend.
It would work.
That's right. So feel that. Feel that right now. And that feeling is what will create more of the same. Now, I want you to notice the mechanisms of this. As you stand in, I trust my life, as you stand in that right now, feel that it's not spinning around, that it can things, I trust my life, things can land on you. Does that feel true?
Yeah, it does.
And I want you to notice that the part of you that had to have Hawaii and all that stuff, right? It needed it in order to be happy. That's not how this works, because as soon as something is the only thing that can make you happy, then it's really setting you up to not be happy, isn't it? So moving instead into what if I were just happy right now, what would that be like? What would being happy right now be like?
It'd be a whole lot better than being frustrated.
Yeah, so I want you to notice that your mind required the juxtaposition of frustration in order to notice the happiness, and that's okay. That's a step in the right direction. And use that juxtaposition of frustration now to move you into happiness again. It's better than being frustrated. Okay, what does happiness feel like? What's happiness feel like right now?
It's It's free and it's smooth. My life feels
bumpy. Right.
That's
right. Okay, so again, you did it. I want you to notice that you just did it again.
Yeah, I did it again.
You juxtapositioned what's wrong with what's right.
Yeah.
And what that creates is an equilibrium of staying exactly where you are. Okay? So it's not going to get worse in that place. It's just going to stay where you are because it's a constant, I feel this, but because I don't feel that, therefore I feel this. But instead, what if you just felt it?
Okay.
What would that be like
it's
to just be happy and trust your life?
Pure
happiness and trusting your life. Just pretend, tap into it, feel it.
Okay, I remember it.
Yep.
Yep.
Good. Remember the feeling, trust it, move into it. That's
and
it.
I know
notice
it works.
That you and
yeah.
you know it works. Yep, feel that.
Yeah.
And notice your mind kind of nudging in. That's okay, but just notice, yep, I see your mind. Yep, thank you so much, but I'm going to just hang out in happiness and trusting my life right now. Right. Very nice. Okay, now what's just happened, Christine, is you've moved into a still point. Okay, and in the still point is this powerful healing that happens in transformation, yes, but the still point has no requirements, no attachments, no needs, no must-haves, no conditions. Does that feel true?
It feels true, yeah.
Yeah, so you're in the still point, and in the still point, you're in the greatest potentiality for manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the still point, your mind is in turn still. Does that feel true?
It feels true.
That's right. And so now your mind is in a new place. And again, you'll hear this in the earlier part of the call. The mind is now in a new place of being in partnership with a soul and a heart that is in willingness, in trust. And the natural impulse of what's next is able to be heard and experienced by the mind, who's quiet now. Who can then take action upon those impulses, those I am pulses. Does that feel true?
It feels true.
Good. And so that will accelerate everything in terms of manifesting what it is you want. And I want you to know, though, as I say that, what it is you want is actually the happiness that you are feeling right now. Is that
true? Yeah, that's right. It is.
Right? All the things that Hawaii gave you simply provided the happiness that you are feeling right in this moment, and you're feeling it in Nova Scotia without your mom, without
yeah.
your stuff.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
This happiness that you're really doing good. This is powerful. You've really kept it going. I've even noticed that your mind is kind of impinged a little bit, but you stayed here. Does that feel true?
Yeah, it feels true. Yeah. I'm
really
I'm
good.
Zero point. Yeah.
You are so in zero point right now. Exactly. So as you stand in this moment of zero point and you feel the quiet mind, now, and hopefully all of you are doing this now, tap into your soul here because you are one with your soul in this moment. And ask your soul, what's my next step? Ask your soul right now. And hear the impulse of what that next step is. It might simply be to just be in this place of happiness every day for 5 or 10 minutes. That might be your next step. I don't know. What is your soul saying? Because you can hear
I'm
it now.
I'm actually doing that much because I'm doing these exercises, and I get into still point really easy. It's
good.
Just, I'll get out of it really easy.
Good, 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 good. It's okay, and it's not hard to get out of. That's not true. That's your mind just limiting things. It's not true.
Okay.
It's an easy flow in, an easy flow out. It's just because it's who you actually are, right? So that
right.
might be it. That might be it. And you know, each of you've got the full package, so maybe you're doing the 21-day programs back to back and then
yeah,
deeper
exactly.
trust and then STT perfect. So that is your practice. What's that?
I feel like I need money and I'm in money and prosperity right now. Should I be doing STT first?
No. You do whatever feels right. It feels
okay.
right. Prosperity is good. So but okay. now you can now to all of the material now, you're gonna bring this energy. Of I trust my life and I'm happy right now. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
And you're going to go on a deeper journey with all the material now.
Thank you so much.
You're doing great, Christine. I'm really impressed. Seriously, you've done so good to just stay in this. And you're still there. You're still in the still point. And we're having a conversation. That, to me, is the ultimate goal, is for us to be in that still point of pure love, in the zero point of who we are, of our soul, and walk through our life in that place.
Okay. Now I know
it's
what I'm looking for. Yeah.
It's all going to be really, really good, because you're looking through the eyes of someone who is anticipating the dream continuing in a new way that you never imagined possible.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, honey. That was great. It's 12:22, perfect time to finish, numerologically. Thank you, honey.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow, that was awesome. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for participating in these programs, because I think I said it at some point that you're the light. And anyone who engages in these products for the next couple of months, you're going to be so different. And you are a catalyst for change on this planet. There's no doubt about it. So thank you for being that. Thank you for your presence and your genius and your light. I am honored to work and play with you, truly. And by the way, watch. I've got something new coming up too. So you're all totally engaged in this stuff. But there is a new program that I have coming up when you're done all this. There's always going to be new programs for you. So thank you for being you. Thank you for participating in this wonderful play, this dance of life, in a new way. And you inspire me. Thank you. Much love, everyone. Goodbye now. I'm going to open the blinds. Say goodnight. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye, Jen.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Much love. Bye-bye.
Thank you.